Oh. Oh. Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I am your host, Arizona Verse. With me, my dude and co-host, Soul Papo.
Hello. Oh, yeah, I guess I should say something.
I'm black, he's Mexican, and now that is out of the way, welcome to our show. This is a podcast about nothing in particular. We got a lot of shit to talk. But before any and all of that, if you want to chime in, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. Find us on all of your social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube. Just add IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. If you don't want to do any of that, just head over to the website, ibhmpodcast.com. Now, if you want to hit me up, my main source of social media fuckery is Tumblr. You can find me at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. If you want to holler at my dude, Soul Papo, his main source of social media fuckery is...
I fuck with the Tumblr, soulpapo.tumblr.com. Simple. You get me real emotional on there. From emotion to horniness to just straight up geekiness. Come on.
Yo, and that's the greatest part about Tumblr, because you can get emo, you can get horny, you can get fucking all that shit, geeky, all in one fucking day. I'm so bipolar on Tumblr, and I love that I can be bipolar and be myself
on Tumblr. I think you can really tell, not only by somebody's post, but what their likes are. And like I said, that's where you're going to see all my ratchet shit. It's all in the likes.
It's all in the likes. Now, no shout-outs this week. Nobody liked the Facebook page since the last show, so fuck all y'all.
Fuck Facebook. That's all I gotta say. Fuck Facebook. I had to deactivate mine. I still can delete it, but I mean, the fact that motherfuckers can look it up with my phone number, I'm like, you know, and I'm on that job hunt right now, so I ain't trying to have it up there, so.
No, I feel you. I know, I told you, that's why I switched my shit over to the Shade of No Legal Name is on there. I think my number might still be on there.
More than likely you do have the number on there, and I can't really take that off. And the fact that I'm not allowed to change names any longer on the Facebook, like, that's what makes it even harder. So I'm like, just go away, I'm sorry, just go away.
So they only give you, like, so many times to change your name?
I think three, man, and I wasn't very smart in thinking of the branding thing, you know, at the beginning, so I tried different variations of my name, from Dick Wright to just other stuff, and it didn't do well. And then I almost wanted to delete the Instagram thing, but I love Instagram too much, so I was like, fuck it, I guess I'll keep private.
Keep that shit going. So, and then actually the only, I guess, news that we have is that you guys can now call the IBHM podcast and leave a voicemail. We're in the process of setting it up where we're going to get ready to start having some live callers, hopefully next month or so.
My thing on that was people don't like to talk, though. Like, even when Voxer was in, like, maybe that, but, like, motherfuckers, they'd rather text.
You'll be surprised, though, because, like, even, like, the Blog Talk Radio, because, like, we do the majority of our shows through Podomatic, and Podomatic is more of a play and listen type thing. But then there's, like, the Blog Talk Radio, where all that is people calling in. Like, Trav Show. Trav Show is, you know, they have the switchboard. They got callers all day. So we're going to try to work that shit out.
Okay.
And we'll figure it out. But in the meantime, if y'all want to leave us a voicemail, if y'all like something you heard us talking about, if you didn't like something you heard us talking about, you can hit us up now at 480-426-0013. Once again, that's 480-426-0013. And leave us a voicemail, y'all.
One more time.
480-426-0013. Ooh, I switched it up on them. That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
I'm going to call them. Like, hello.
Hello.
All right.
Hello. Can I speak to
There's a song I wasn't sure to reference. Call me on the hotline. But I didn't remember.
I don't know that song. So I guess we'll get the show started. We're supposed to have a special guest this episode. I don't quite know what happened, but it is all good in the hood. That comes with live podcasting. This is the second show.
Daddy, you gotta usually
babysit motherfuckers. So far, we're what, 1 for 3? Yeah, or no, we're 3 for 5 with guests. So we didn't have supposed to have 5 guests. We didn't have 3 of them. So those other 2 will eventually get them on sometime down the line. It is what the fuck it is. So, yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and get started. And one of the first articles that we were just actually talking about before we came on air is it's a bit of an old article, but I think it's still newsworthy nonetheless. Is that Games Radar had posted a story about Nintendo being doomed. You know, a lot of people were worried because the Wii wasn't doing what it was supposed to, a couple other devices that they had. There's been talks about if Nintendo should just switch to just doing software and not software and hardware. But one person in particular doesn't think that Nintendo has anything to worry about, because as of about 18 months ago, about one and a half fiscal calendars ago, Nintendo was estimated to have $10.5 billion in the bank, and even if they continue to take big losses every year, this company is still going to be around for 2052. So Nintendo ain't going nowhere no motherfucking time soon.
Yeah, one of the biggest things in it we discussed a little bit ago is Nintendo, especially with the, because when the last generation of systems came out, the PS3, Xbox 360, and the Wii, there's a big difference between those. Wii kind of was gearing more towards the gimmicky, let's get your grandparents involved so they can come in here, you know, to shake a stick and feel like we're doing some sort of exercise for us rural beast big motherfuckers that don't get any exercise. Which pretty much just recycled graphical power from the previous generation before that, which was the GameCube, which was when the PS2 and Xbox, you know, were out. So it wasn't really pushing anything in hardware, which is going to be bad, especially when nowadays, you know, most motherfuckers want to play Grand Theft Auto or some sort of shooting game. They didn't keep up with that. They kind of wanted to go their own route, kind of more family-oriented. And now even the family, motherfuckers are shooting each other off. So both in real life and in both video games, it's kind of that they're like, all right, well, that shit didn't work. But because there are hardcore fanboys, which I want to say I'm one of those Nintendo geeks, one of those Nintendo fanboys, because I keep up with them. I love me some Mario and the Zeldas and all that good stuff. They do have a whole lot of money. So really, they can honestly, what you were reading in an article that says something about they can be losing so many millions for 20 more years and this would be straight?
Yeah, they could be something like they could lose up to, I can't find the actual figure, but something like up to $400 million a year, and they would still be straight. So, like, Nintendo is here. They're the foundation of video games. They're not going anywhere. So.
And they've been set up since, even though the systems didn't come out until the late 90s, they were in the game, the toy game, since the 70s. So, I mean, so they do have a lot of money, and the fact that their franchises go for so long, they're straight. People were saying stuff, and this is going to sound really geeky, but people were kind of getting in the debates, oh, that they should give up the systems, like the way that Sega did. But Sega, people don't know this, but Sega was fucked over by Microsoft, because the Dreamcast, which was the last system that they made, was one of the dopest systems. It was the first thing to go online. It was the first thing to incorporate just so much things, from rumble features to voice activation to motion sensors. They did it all, especially the internet thing, which was connected to the Microsoft, Windows 95. And other than, anyways, Microsoft just pretty much ended up biting them, stealing the design, making the Xbox. Pretty much Xbox is kind of king when it comes to most systems and things like that. People are saying that Nintendo's going to go their route, and it's not going to be. I mean, they shouldn't. They're nowhere. They're too big of a company, even though I know Sega was one of them. I thought that was funny. And right now, like I said, I'm geeked out in the handheld set. So, things like the 3DS is going to keep motherfuckers paying. And even though the same Mario game comes out every year, but a little bit different, it's going to keep our game. There's just no slightly tweak, just enough to kind of get you to buy a whole new system for it, which is what it did. And their franchises are worth a lot. And this is kind of why I was kind of waiting for our guest, because he was a video nerd and I wanted to ask his 2 cents, because one of the biggest things that happened to a lot of video game companies, and I want to get off the subject because I won't shut up about it if we stay on this intended.
Oh, no, you good. Do you think?
You can tell when I'm passionate because I ain't going to shut up about it. We can talk about it. One of the biggest things right now with gaming is that the fact that you can do it on your phone. If I can play so much shit on this and make me think that it looks like this, I mean, you're gonna stay on it. But Nintendo don't want that. They don't want to have their video games on an app they can get for $2.99, because they can make you buy a system that costs $250 and a game cartridge that costs $40. So, I mean, I don't know. See, either which way, they ain't going anywhere. They got money.
And I think, like, to start off with the whole, when they switched to the Wii and they were going the family route, I think even though in the short term, if you will, it didn't quite work, the Wii didn't take off the way the PS, the PlayStation, and the Xbox did, it still sold a lot, and I still think it was at least a wise decision, because Nintendo has always been more of a family-based company. They've always been about Mario was a family fun adventure type thing. It's always been like a family oriented type thing. So I thought that was a smart, you know, from a business standpoint, that was a smart idea to be like, okay, these games are going in this direction. Let's try to go this direction and pave our own lane and keep this going. And it didn't work out. But once again, this is still a financially well off company, so they don't have to worry about anything. But I do believe that they should. Keep doing the systems. I don't think they should stop doing systems, because there's always going to be a fan base that's always going to fuck with Nintendo just off of the name value alone. But the one thing I would love to see them do is go ahead, and I would love to see them do apps. I think that would be so fucking dope to see Nintendo have some fucking apps, apps that, just like you said, for $2.99 you can download on your fucking phone, because that's what it's all about right now, is these Android apps. I'm on fucking Clash of the Clans. I'm trying to stay away from this fucking game, but this is my new little shit.
Isn't it sure if they sell you stuff on there, right? Like, you can buy stuff on that game, like weapons and stuff?
And that's the thing with, like, a lot of games, is it's set up a certain way where you can do certain things, but as you advance, if you want to get further, you have to drop a little money on it, you know, to further advance. Like, on this one, it has, like, gold and ether, and then you also get these gems that you could use to rush projects or do special different things and all that. But the gems, you only get a certain amount of gems, and after you run out of gems, you won't pay a little money to get a little more gems. And so, I won't lie, then it got me for a few little bucks, but this game is the shit. I won't lie. This is my new shit right now. And then fucking at, the dudes at work put me up on it, cause we got a whole fucking, army. We got a whole, clan on the game. And so me and a whole bunch of people at work, we're all in the same clan. And yeah, we'd be fucking donating army troops back. We'd be raiding motherfucking villages. Like, this is my new shit, yo.
I gotta work with that Clash of Clans, yo. I can geek out with you, huh? For real. I hate my job. Man. I hate these motherfuckers. Bitches don't give me no play.
That's what I'm telling everybody, man.
I think I saw your post too, trying to swindle people to come on and work with you. I'm like, man, putting your business out there, letting them know where you park. That's one thing I never like. No. I don't want no one to know where my car at. Bitches hate me too much.
Yo, it is hilarious, because when I left the last company, that was my main thing. I was like, I'm not going to tell anybody about my new job. Like, I even got asked on my Facebook post, oh, what's the name of the new company, when I first switched? And I was like, yo, I don't want to put any of that out. But then once they started saying that they were hiring, like I said, the job isn't perfect, but I love the place I work at, and everybody enjoys coming to work. And it's been a long time since I've been at a place where people enjoy being at work. And that's why I'm like, that's why I was telling everybody, yo, y'all need to come fuck with us, because niggas is showing up to work, niggas is happy. When I was gonna say,
when it comes to slavery, man, like you said, you can beat someone all you want, but if you feed me good and you fuck me good, I'm gonna keep taking the beating.
I'm gonna keep taking it. But I told the dude when I first did the interview, he was asking me if I knew anything about their culture, and I was like, yeah, I've seen some of their videos on YouTube, and I had kind of equated them to like Facebook and Google. Like, there's a certain way companies run their business, like a monarchy. I'm the supervisor. I know everything. You're a minion. You're an idiot. You sit down and you don't have any ideas, and you do what I tell you, and you're dispensable. I can get rid of you at any moment. And my company, much like Google and Facebook, is more employee oriented. Like, if I can keep you motherfuckers happy, you'll show up to work every day and be productive. So it's more of a employee oriented business. That's the reason why they got an Xbox in the fucking break room. They got pool tables and ping pong tables and all that. Niggas be taking break going over there doing that. We get free food all the motherfucking time. We it was kind of slow on Friday. They had March Madness up on the screen, so we watched March Madness while we working. Like, nigga, we geeking.
That's what's up. Well, I mean, I know you keep your employees happy, and they say you stay productive and they stay working, they stay consistent. That's what you want in the business. You want consistency. Motherfuckers know what they gotta do, so as long as you keep that consistent, you know, you're in the running. Same thing kind of trending back to, and we'll get off the subject, and I know I'm fucking about bringing it back up, but same thing with Nintendo. They know what their fans want. They give that. Are they treading new grounds to get more consumers? Well, they tried. That's why they're able to take these financial risks that they do. You know what I'm saying? But ultimately, motherfuckers, just like a bitch that saw her pussy, you go for one thing and one thing only. I want that.
And one thing only. And actually, to stay on the video game topic but switch up to another one, have you ever fucked with Steam? Do you know anything about the Steam engine?
Downloading stuff, you mean? Like from all their things? Like back catalogs and libraries?
Yeah, like, I just started fucking with Steam because I talked to you about this off the air. I'm a big Civilization geek. I love the game Civilization.
You like RTSs?
And I had...
Like real-time strategy games? Okay.
My main thing growing up was always role-playing games. My favorite, I think we talked about this on the last episode, but my favorite game series of all time was motherfucking Final Fantasy. I played Final Fantasy from the very first one. I fucks with some Final...
I'm a Zelda guy. But yeah.
Final Fan, I love that shit. But, what you on screen? Oh, wait, there's a little lag on your end. Okay, oh, yeah. But, so I fucks with role-playing games, and I don't know how I came across Civilization, but I started fucking with it. Had it on the MacBook, and I'm still running 10.4 on my Mac. And so I could only play Civilization 3. So I was like, yo, when I got income taxes, I was like, yo, let me check out the Civilization 5, see if I can get it. You can't get the physical disc because it's been out for so long. So they were like, you could buy it through Steam. So I bought it through Steam, and now I just started fucking. So this is my new shit. And I heard Steam is possibly talking about coming out with their own actual hardware system where you could basically get a Steam machine, you could download games on it, and then you could custom map the controllers to however you like. And so if Steam pops up, PlayStation and Xbox may need to watch out, because what Steam is doing, you're going to have a fully fucking customizable system, kind of like the reason why you got those computer nerds are so big on Windows as opposed to Macs, because you can customize Windows a whole lot more. Steam might come in this race. We might have a new contender real soon. So
see, and that was another big dude too. The thing, something called I'm forgetting the name, but Android pretty much tried making this system. The Android from the phones, I think it was called a Uverse. I can't forget the name, but it was worth shit. They tried making it mobile, tried making it really cheap. Obviously, you could download apps and be able to play them off your phone, and that makes it really cool and neat. But I mean, it's not going to compare to the next gen systems. I mean, mobile games are meant for them to be mobile. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless they're really hardcore and badass, where you want to play them on your big screen, in which case you might just want to get a fucking Samsung Galaxy 4S or product placement, because you can actually play your games and pinpoint them to your TV or whatever like that. But yeah, PC gamers, that's why PC gamers are snobs, because they feel they got the hardware that can process really anything. Because you're constantly upgrading new graphic chips and whatnot. I mean, there's really no limit to what you can do, which makes a video game system like, let's say, Xbox One, PS4. I mean, once that shit's out, there ain't really no upgrading that, you know, until the next generation of systems. But,
If they do this right, they could be fucking dangerous. Because if they do the shit where instead of you buying Steam 1, and you have to wait 6-7 years to get Steam 2. If they set it up where just like a computer, you could upgrade your fucking memory card and upgrade your graphic chips and all that, and just keep that one system pushing for as long as you can, I'm telling you, they can clean up. This might be something big. I don't know when they have plans of releasing the actual Steam engine, actual video game hardware system, but I think that they got something. They may do something, so...
See, when you said Steam, I was thinking about the downloading, like, because there's like a cloud. There's a cloud software for every fucking thing, but I know Sony's really pushing, like, bringing up their old catalog, try to re-release things. The only problem with that is that licensing, like, let's say, for instance, like Madden. Yeah. Madden, supposedly ain't gonna be no more Madden games, or, if I'm mistaken, ain't gonna be no more NCAA. Some shit, it's all about licensing, just how they quit making, like, what was it? EA makes Madden games, right? Like, at a certain point, they bought out the NFL license to where other companies couldn't make anything using anything that's NFL-based. So it's one of those sort of things to where it's about, can we re-release it? Can we rebuy it? Do we need to rebuy the licensing again, let's say, for music for music that, you know, made, I don't know. There's so much, there's a lot of politics and licensing when it comes to that shit, but that's what I thought you meant when you said the steam. Either which way though, I mean, whatever is gonna keep us entertained and give us what it is that we need, kind of similar to technology and maybe hopefully some segue into the iPhone thing, but I mean, it's all about supply and demand. Give us what we want and hopefully add a little bit more than what we actually expected and you'll hook us and you'll get us and, you know,
exactly. We'll keep on coming up from there. It's that beach ball again.
Yeah, that beach ball. Throw it up there.
Fucking beach ball from the last episode. So, but no, yeah, I saw this too. I thought was interesting. Who is this? TechPolicyDaily.com put out an article said talking about how much would an iPhone have cost in 1991, and they said that basically, if you break it down, today's iPhones have the same capabilities and more than 13 distinct electronics gadgets worth more than $3,000 found in 1991 Radio Shack. And this guy dug up an old ad and made the point about basically breaking it down. And they were saying how in 1991, and Popo got a fucking poltergeist over there. I see lights flashing and shit. He says, in 1991, a gigabyte of hard disk storage cost around $10,000, perhaps a touch less. Today, it costs around 4 cents. Back in 1991, a gigabyte of flash memory, which is what the iPhone uses, would have cost something like $45,000 or more, which today is about 55 cents. So basically, the mid-level iPhone 5S has 32 gigabytes of flash memory. 32 gigabytes times 45,000 equals $1.44 million. So the next time anybody complains about their iPhone moving slow, shut the fuck up. You have a $1 million phone in your fucking pocket.
I ain't gonna lie, I think that's the thing though. We get so used to things, especially with the internet. We're so used to getting shit like this that anytime it's not coming to like this, we're gonna complain because then we'll be used to it. Ain't what we want. Like, I hate waiting and I'm so impatient. Bitch, get your ass in here. He's like, to quote Jay-Z's ass, even though I don't want to quote him. But was that from Big Pimpin'?
I hate patience
and I hate waiting. Bitch, get your ass in here and just ride.
Yeah, that was Big Pimpin'. You know, fucking Louis C.K. had a good point on one of his stand-up sketches where he was talking about that and people with their iPhone. And he was like, you know, I'll be standing on the street corners. I'll see somebody with their phone trying to search something. And they're like, oh, fuck, dude, like, man, this is taking so fucking long. And he's like, give it a second. The signal is going to fucking space. Give it a few seconds to come back down. Like, shit. But it is that, you know, we adapt to shit. After you have something for so long, it's like, you want that new shiny thing, and even though that last one was perfectly fine, this new one has even more wheels and or fucking bells.
Tricks and whistles.
Yeah, so yeah, you're like, oh, this is my new shit now, but that shit is funny, so. But I thought that was interesting. There's also, that goes back to that other,
Can you imagine though, having to have a fucking phone that has a CD player, like, damn, like, I'm at first I used to be very against the whole MP3 movement, but like, yeah, it's so goddamn convenient. Can you imagine that? Like, earlier when I was doing some thrift shopping with my mama, and we was out and I saw this old Walkman. I damn near wanted to get this fucking Walkman.
Going out this shit.
Yeah, and I was like, it was like $8, which I guess wasn't a big deal, but I'm thinking, but we don't buy these shits no more. I'm just looking at it like, oh man, I remember I had the anti-skip thing. I could jump around if I wanted to, do jumping jacks and still be okay. But
I remember my first fucking anything that I had that I bought with my own money and I just cherished. It was a motherfucking Walkman with the anti-skip on it. And I had the nice fucking little headphones.
Sony,
with
right?
The Sony, right? Bass. Sony, yep, it was the Sony Walkman. I went legit with it. And I had the motherfucking cushion with the Matt's Bass headphones and shit. And you couldn't tell me nothing. Because, you know, back then, I tell everybody I thought I was from the East Coast. So, everybody was walking around in their Chucks and their Dickies listening to Tupac and shit. I was walking around with my Timbs and my Pure Players on listening to DMX and fucking the Bad Boy movement and motherfucking Mace and Harlem World. Yeah, that was my shit. But yeah, that anti-skip Walkman, you just motherfucking took it back.
Should have got it. She's like, mama, get me
Should've
there.
Should have got it, man.
Yeah, I'll be there. I doubt anybody.
Fucking,
get it.
I was, my girl's mom was telling us. Yeah, it'll still be there. But I'm telling you, man, cop that shit fucking 20 years from now. that motherfucker might be worth something. People, you know, shit, fucking my kids ain't gonna know what the fuck a CD is. Yeah. When they get a little older, you can hit them with that antique, like, yo, this is my shit back in the day.
Keep them vinyls on. Yeah. But you know, I started laughing at too, because I was even like I said, I do a bit of thrifting, and I even saw an even more old school, like the original Walkman. I'm talking about the Radio Bad Boy, and this motherfucker had the. I don't know if you remember when the Walkman came out, the cassette joint, and this was before our time, but I remember seeing them, and they had those tiny, tiny little headphones that kind of go around the back of the ear, sort of thing. I didn't know it wasn't around the ear. But they're just tiny as hell, and they kind of go over your head. They just look so hilarious to see them, with the little aluminum joint and the little eyes. Just like, who's fucking? I don't know. They weren't meant to be earbuds. These are over the ear joints that just were so ridiculously small. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers got holes in their ears bigger than these shits, and they're just.
No, it's silly because it's even like. It's even like fucking what is that Spike Lee movie Do the Right Thing, when you had Radio Raheem, when he was walking around with the motherfucking boombox on the side of his head. And to think about it now, that is so fucking silly, to be walking around with the motherfucking boombox, walking down fucking Harlem, bumping some Public Enemy, and just how absurd that is. And trust, give it about 20 years and we'll look back at these fucking earbuds we got in our ears and be like, look how fucking silly we were wearing those.
We could just be playing them straight from our fucking vaginal insert cord. You know how they're going to have the Hall of Fame by then.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be pumping this shit right into our fucking cerebral cortex by then and shit. And
What are you listening to? Wait, let me touch your fucking your temple. Oh, I don't know what the temple is. I'm guessing the one right here. Oh, yeah, I like that song. That's really dope.
Send to your brain. And Trav Lord chimed in and said, Papo getting off easy because I can't IM his bitch ass.
Hey! How dare you? Call me out my bitch ass now. How dare you? And I love you so damn much.
Oh, this shit is funny. And actually, speaking of Trav, who was on episode 13, Return of the Gangsta Delicious, his dedication from that episode was, and I know I'm going to mess up her name, Lupita.
Oh,
are
you
going to
bring it up right now? Oh, yeah.
Good. Yo, she's nerds are, nerds are geeking out that, apparently, she's taken over the world for the past couple weeks or whatnot, getting real popular and all that, and the latest movement is to try and get her to play Storm of the X-Men. And
what's not official yet?
It's not official yet, but this is one of those things where they're pushing to get her. The internet is pushing to get Marvel to take a look at her, and they're saying that how in the comic book world Storm is African and she's not of mixed heritage like Halle Berry. And then they were saying that there's only a she what?
I said, even though Halle Berry fan of the motherfucker, as most would say, you know how I feel about that. But yeah, she bad.
Motherfucking swordfish, that's all I'm saying.
Yo, Monster Ball, son.
I still ain't seen Monster Ball, because I don't want to see Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob tore that shit up.
I heard that. I heard he put a beating on him.
Whips it.
Well, fucking, they were saying how there's only a few viable candidates for a strong black female. And so, yeah, a lot of people are looking for Lupita. I think the only other person who would probably fucking work in this situation would be, what's the old girl name from Scandal? Kerry Washington. That's the only other black woman who I could see on a reboot of the X-Men series being working in that situation. So
I was about to say too, it's been 10 years. They usually revamp shit every fucking goddamn 10 years. It is. I would imagine that they would jump back in it again. But see, and this is where I kind of, this is my geekness again is going to pick where I'm going to spill some beans. I kind of get mad that they have to revamp these shits using the same old thing. Similar to how I get mad that when they make Bible movies, they reusing the same old stories. Obviously, the fucking Bible's been out for I don't know how many fucking years. But why are you bringing them Noah for? Everybody knows the goddamn story of Noah. Bring us some new shit. Let's talk about Enoch. Let's talk about, I don't know, some shit off the judge.
No, you know what movie I want to see? What Bible movie I would love to see? I would love to see them turn the Book of Job into a fucking movie. I would love to see that story turned into a movie.
Don't know pain. Don't know WTF. Don't know fail. Don't know I'm dead. Until they've read the Book of Job. That's a fucked up story.
I think if if the right director were to flip that shit, I think that could be a cold-ass fucking story. You get the right screenwriter and Hollywood person, I think that would be an interesting-ass fucking story. And the Book of Revelations would be a good fucking story, too, but there's too many fucking interpretations of what exactly it's getting at, and so I don't think anyone would be able to really pull that one off correct, because it's just kind of, it's your interpretation of what it means, so.
And that's another problem with me when it comes to Noah, because, I mean, I don't know how literal we have to take it, because it gets pretty in detail. I figured if it's Leviticus or one of the early books, they give straight up details. I'm talking about cubic centimeter of feet, details of how to build shit. And
that's in the one with the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, they really broke that. And I think Numbers too. Yeah, they.
Numbers. They really get into some details. And I know a lot of Bible stories, you know, they're meant to be more metaphorical, and the English language doesn't have enough words to explain that you know, that the Hebrew and the Arabic and the Greek translations actually give. So, and honestly, we speak a bastard language that, no matter how poetic and however shit the shit sounds and rhymes, has nothing on the original five languages. So there's a lot that's lost.
And then actually too, and I know you still ain't peeped Jupiter, but I ain't mad at you. But also, you got to throw Egypt in there. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll save that for another day.
There's so much in it, and once again, which is why I get mad, that as dope as Noah looks, and yeah, you throw Russell Crowe, you know, an actor who's kind of dying out, but still a well-known actor to kind of be in this movie, it's a good look, but it's like, why are you going to pick the most ridiculous story about a motherfucking man who in the story himself gets ridiculed for making this assumption, you know, for building this big-ass thing and waiting for a flood, even though I'm sure the technology that we lost, the shit that's been, you know, dug into the ground would have been, you know, from floods or from whatever sort of disasters that had come around. But I don't like that they had to pick the most ridiculous stories, you know, to showcase, and then that's what the Bible is known for, the most ridiculous of stories. No, give us some hard-hitting shit. Give us some shit that we can see. That's why I love the Book of Judges, because motherfuckers want to talk about, you know, rape and killing and shanking and whatnot. Judges is fucking has some beautiful fucking killing stories, you know what I'm saying, for all the emo satanic bastards that want to see some hack and slash, full of it, it didn't satisfy everybody.
And question, when History Channel did that whole Bible series, whatever, did you watch that?
I watched one of the few ones because I'm just a broke motherfucker, ain't got no cable, so I had to see it at a friend's house. Or I forgot who it's cast, but yeah, I end up seeing it, and it actually looked really dope. I mean, like I said, you put money behind anything, it's gonna look ill. And kind of, this is kind of where I want, maybe we can bring up that turn down for what video, whatever. But like I said, you steal an idea, which in my opinion, like I said, that was a rip-off of not only Major Lazer's song, Upon the Floor, but also the video. But you throw some money, some better graphics, and that's just gonna look nice, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Everyone wants something nice to look at. Yeah.
So that is a good segue, because for anybody who has not seen the Turn Down for What video featuring Lil Jon, and I don't know who the other nigga is, I don't care, Lil Jon is
some DJ, right?
Some DJ something.
I didn't even think it was a song, it's just a beat, and it has Lil Jon yelling in the background like you normally do.
It's more of just a dance record, so like. But this Turn Down for What video is the wildest motherfucking video I've ever seen. Like, I fucking night this video a masterpiece. Like, oh my god. I saw that shit and I went fucking crazy. They are motherfucking fools for doing this shit. But yeah, the Turn Down for What video was fucking fantastic. I hate Lil Jon with a passion. Okay! But y'all niggas need to peep this shit if y'all ain't seen this. We're gonna put it up on the IBHM podcast website. If y'all ain't seen the shit, click it, watch it, tell a friend, because this is some wild ass shit.
And actually, it was really dope. And I'm me, who is very anti radio, anti commercial, anti this song is for all my drunk bitches. That song, the video went with the song, and it was really dope. And it is one of those songs where you just want to just fucking get real ignorant and just start joking and really just letting your titties fly. And you know what I'm saying? Letting that belly roll. And then I think it was a beautiful example of what the song represents.
Yes, sir.
And Trav wants to know why you're sitting like a 12-year-old girl.
Wait. This let me show my 12, this is my 12-year-old girl pose.
He clicking the hills. What is it? Was it called? No, not Call Me. Maybe the Friday song. You are chilling Rebecca Black style.
I'm chilling on my goddamn belly. This is the way I like chilling. This is where I'm most comfortable. This is where I like doing my taxes. This is how I like playing my video games. I like being on my belly. If I had any backing in how being on your belly would be cool, I remember reading the story of Tupac when he was in the studio once. Motherfucker, I forgot who he was with. And motherfucker had guns everywhere, and they were chilling, they were smoking, and, you know, was trying to find a place to sit, and he kind of just moved all the shit to the side, just laid on his fucking gut and started, you know what I'm saying, put his gun off to the side. This is my gun right here, my little Nintendo 3, put it off to the side, started writing. Fuck you, Trav. Comfortable, I'm fuck chilling.
I'm chilling.
Put my legs down. That does look pretty damn girly showing off. Showing off my shoes. It looks like I'm talking to my dream guy. I'm waiting for him to call me. I'm fucking telling the cord here.
First. But speaking of wild, crazy shit, I guess. Yeah. Fucking South by Southwest just passed not too long ago. And
another one of those concert shits that I wish I had the money to fucking go. If I didn't hate Texas the way that I did, I'd go. Just kidding.
Yeah, fuck Texas.
But I'd love to go, but I want to go just like Kimmy Nardwar, man. Because he always goes to those fucking shits. And folks.
And I know it's a couple of hip-hop podcasts that they go out to the South by Southwest and they do promotions and all that. So maybe that'll be season 3 of I'm Black, He's Mad podcast. We do some South by Southwest shit. Tax it. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you. But for anybody who doesn't know what South by Southwest is, it's basically just a set of film, interactive, and musical festivals as well as conferences that take place every year sometime in March in Austin, Texas. It began back in 1987 and has continued to grow in size every year. And they got to the point where in 2011, the conference lasted for about 10 days, it says. And so it's a real big thing. A lot of people like to go out there and just do various shits, if you will. And they promote a lot of new shit coming out and all that. But this past year, shit got a little crazy as some motherfuckers died at South by Southwest.
Don't they usually No,
not
honestly, though.
I'm
trying to look back, and there's always someone that either dies of dehydration. I mean, I'm sure there's a rape from not so many miles away.
Yeah. But I guess this time it was actually a vehicular incident that was actually on the scene. Apparently, an intoxicated man plowed into a crowd, and the incident left 2 people dead and injured more than 20 other people. And so yeah, the motherfucker got my internet's fucking up, but it is what it is.
It must have been a hip hop segment, I'm guessing.
I know those hip hoppers. It was the hip hoppers. But yeah, motherfuckers was getting buck wild or whatnot, and I guess they arrested the man. Let me see if it shows his name. Yeah, the suspect in this incident has been identified as Rashid Charging Owens. Guess the race. And apparently,
like
it sounds like a nigga to me. And he apparently is set to face 2 counts of capital murder and 23 counts of aggravated assault by vehicle. And capital murder is Texas's highest offense punishable by death. So they might get this nigga an electric chair. You know, Texas just be waiting to fucking fry a nigga on the motherfucking stand. They love that shit out there in Texas. So look like this nigga is gonna go down over there.
Wait, does this tie into the Tyler, the Creator story? Or was he trying to deny that he had anything to do with it?
Now, there's an interesting turn of events because this, I was confused about the whole thing, too. Trying to figure out exactly what happened because Tyler, the Creator, was also arrested for starting a riot where basically it was a sold-out show. And it was a sold-out show, and Tyler, the Creator, told his fans to basically rush the stage, and it ended up turning into a riot where Tyler, the Creator, the usual suspect, shouts out to Odd Future, got arrested, and he was released on $25,000 bail, but he did release a statement. My shit was fucking low. Yeah, he released a statement when he finally got out of jail. He said, "Hi, y'all." He said, "Dear you, that tragedy that happened was absolutely that tragedy that happened has absolutely nothing to do with the show at Thrasher at a different location 8 days later. He says, so please stop going out of your way to mention the tragedy and tie me into it. That's not cool and it bumps me out. Two different locations and days and everything. So yeah. So yeah, Tyler the Creator did start a riot, but he had nothing to do with that dude. Cause when, how they spent that story first came out, I thought Tyler started a riot and then the nigga was swerving around during the same time and hit some people and killed some people and all that shit. But no, Tyler's incident and the incident at South by Southwest, it was two different instances, two different days. So yeah, wasn't Tyler's fault.
I love how, even in reports, it goes, how do they phrase it? Like they say someone just had a release conference. We're just in, you know, it's all a fuck from a fucking tweet. Like, I think that's just fucking hilarious how that's where we get our information.
We are in the world, or we're in the age of social media, where we get our news from Twitter and from Facebook. It actually goes back to that Bin Laden shit. The news of Bin Laden getting, quote unquote, finally caught and assassinated and all that, that story leaked on Twitter. It was an American who lived out in Afghanistan, who lived a block away from that, who just so happened to be tweeting and was like, oh, something's going on in the neighborhood. Oh, a helicopter just crashed. I wonder what's going on. And it turned out to be that was the fucking Bin Laden raid. So luckily, Bin Laden wasn't on fucking Twitter, or else he would have saw the fucking Navy SEAL SITS team coming from a mile the fuck away. So that's wild. That's motherfucking wild.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is... But, I mean, like, yeah, it's in the day and age, you know what I'm saying? I guess it's a whole lot easier. It's brought to you by, and actually, kind of, maybe to go into the next story, some would even argue that's why hip hop is the lesser, the lesser race of sorts, because it's done, yeah, because it's kind of, I don't say it's done more easily, but kind of to thread back to when, original hip hop beats were done. It's a basis of sampling. I mean, even though you have real, talented producers who are multi-instrumentalists or motherfuckers who play instruments, from drums to guitar to your bass and whatnot. For originally, it started from just sampling another motherfucker's work, making it your own. That would kind of make that the Mickey Mouse of, or just, I mean, just a more, just, it ain't, what the fuck am I trying to say, Verse?
See, and I would argue, because I know where you're going with it, because I know a lot of rock and roll people take this way, but I would say that I think, and it's once again, it's to everyone's different opinion, but I would think that hip hop, even in the early days of the sampling and all that, showed creative genius, where you have these cats in the ghetto, we don't have money for singing lessons. We don't have money to get guitars and motherfucking drums. All we can afford is this turntable. And I just figured out a way to match the beats per minute in my head and find this little break beat that gets the crowd pumping and just keep looping this 8 bars to keep it moving and all that. They turn something out of nothing. And so a lot of rock and roll people will argue that, that hip hop is just in like, actually, to segue into the article, was that the lead singer of Kiss, Gene Simmons, complained about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame including hip hop artists. And in an interview with Radio.com, Gene Simmons says that he complained about the induction of hip hop artists like Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Run DMC into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he says that if you don't play a guitar and you don't write your own songs, you don't belong there. First things first, I would have to stop there, because the great majority of, and I'm not talking mainstream per se, but the great majority of hip hop artists as a whole write their own shit. That's one of the biggest things. That's the reason why Jay-Z got so much shit for so many years, because even though he was knocking out an album every 8 months, every fucking album, he was taking a line or two from Biggie, and niggas was like, yo, stop that shit. Like, get your own shit. So I disagree with Gene Simmons talking about that, but he does go on to say that I have no beef with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Really quick.
Go ahead. Do you think?
Now, I know Jay-Z was known or rumored to be a ghostwriter for The Chronic 2001, but honestly, though, yeah. Do you think he has a ghostwriter, though? at least for some tracks. He has to have a youngin.
I wanted to say yes, but unless his pockets is that deep and he's that deep in shedding people the fuck up, Jay-Z...
You know he got money to shut someone up.
What?
But for all the other artists that have been called out for so much shit...
Like Lil Wayne had Gilly the Kid?
Yeah, like there's so much shit that came about Lil Wayne. The same thing, like I mentioned to people when they were talking about the bidding wars with Nicki Minaj and Drake coming to Young Money. But a lot of people didn't know they were ghostwriters on Young Money for like 2-3 years before they got signed. Like they had been on Young Money for a long time, but as writers, similar to Lady Gaga, had been on Akon's label for a long time writing songs before she became a solo artist. And
Carrie Hilson, she was a ghostwriter for a good minute before she became an artist.
Exactly, but for all the shit and all the videos and all the stuff with Jay-Z, everyone says that he writes that shit and he writes that shit without a pen. And like, there's been other artists that came out and been like, oh yeah, freestyle this or freestyle that, and they've been proven to be full of shit, or they do freestyle they shit, but you can tell they freestyling it because the shit sounds fucking nonsensical. But that's one thing, and this isn't even me being a Jay-Z stan, because I've been waiting for him to get called out on it, but that story still sticks. That nigga does not have a ghostwriter, and that he is writing all that shit off the top of his head.
That's Illuminati man right there, but it is
Illuminati won't let him
get out. No, they won't. They can, not unless they want it to. But back to what Jim was saying though, it is fucked up. And to be calling out Grandmaster Flash, who to me, I just remember as a fucking DJ. You know what I mean? Which again, I mean, that takes skill into itself. I mean, and you know, all this good stuff. But I thought that almost sounded like, mind you, he's an old ass Jew from back in the day. So I mean, you know, he's stuck in his ways.
These niggers out of here.
Get him out.
But no, you know what? As much as I don't know, like as much as I disagree with him complaining about the sampling and about how hip hop artists don't write their own songs and this and this and that, I do agree with him that hip-hop artists shouldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They should
Rock
be
and Roll Hall
thing,
of Fame.
Right?
Hip-hop needs its own Hall of Fame. Exactly. We don't need a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's they shit. We need our own shit. And that's what it comes down to, a lot of shit like this. Like, and once again, I'm a proud black man, and I'm ever defendant of my race and our history, but I'm ever so not scared to call fucking black people out on the bullshit. We need to stop getting mad that other people ain't letting us play with them. We need to start creating our own shit. You know, stop getting motherfucking mad that, you know, rock and roll people don't want you in the Hall of Fame. Get your own motherfucking Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, stop the that, you know, that we're not getting treated right in the law system. Let's create our own law system. And of course, it's easier said than done. But stop complaining about other people not fucking with you. Let's fuck you. Let's get our own shit.
Yeah,
Mexicans got their shit.
If the whites don't want to share the color, you know what I'm saying, water fountain to drink out of, motherfucker, then stay in your own goddamn water fountain. Bring segregation back. SB 1060.
What you do? What you do is you wipe your dick on a water fountain, and then you go over to your colored section, and you keep it pushing, and you keep
there
that shit fresh and clean. That's what you do.
Yeah.
So, and to go on with the rest of what he said, he just says that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has been diluted, and he said the master just scratched their head. He was like, you got these guys in, and you're killing me. That doesn't mean they aren't good artists, but they don't play guitar. They sample and they talk, not even sing. Now, this is another quote, even though I agree with him that hip-hop people need their own Hall of Fame. This is another thing that I debate with people all the time. When people say that hip-hop isn't real music, they're just talking. And I always hit them with, okay, I got a full-blown recording studio. I have a motherfucking MIDI controller. I have professional recording microphones. I got studio monitors. I got DAWs. I got motherfucking synthesizers. I got everything that is needed to make a motherfucking album. If rapping is just talking and so fucking easy, come to the studio. I got 2,000 beats on my motherfucking hard drive. Let's record a song if it's that fucking easy. No one ever takes me up on that offer. It's not as easy as you want to make it out to be, so.
And actually, one thing that sounds so fucking ignorant about saying that there's just talking, mind you, the shit that sells, you ain't a rapper doesn't sell. A motherfucker with melody and choruses that are commercially successful, those shit sell. So then those aren't just talking. Like I said, if that was the case, fucking my spoken word would be out the ground. I'd be a goddamn nugget. So, you know what I'm saying? It is about saying and about getting real catchy shit that little 12-year-old girls, 30-year-old to fucking washed out 40-year-old bitches and fucking dance to. You know what I mean? So it takes more than that. And I like what you're saying about segregation, which I don't know if that goes into the next story of, I'm not too sure if this bitch is trying to, is she trying to go against dudes? What's
well,
the deal?
No, maybe? I'll break this down. This is a story that has been going on for a while. We hadn't brought it up on the show because I was waiting for kind of more of the story to kind of play itself out to get more information about it before we finally talked about it. But, there's a MMA fighter that goes by the name of Fallon Fox, who is a transgendered MMA fighter. She was born a man. She is now a woman, and she has been competing in mixed martial arts fights, fighting other women. And she's been beating their asses, and she's been winning, and she's been hurting bitches. And they're trying to decide if it's if they should give her her license to continue to be able to compete in these tournaments. And my take on, and actually I guess we could read the a little bit of the article first. Did you want to read this one?
You can, brother.
Okay. It says, as the controversy surrounding transgender fighter Fallon Fox continues to roll, people from all aspects of the MMA community weighing in, the decision regarding whether she would be able to obtain a license has yet to be made. With questions of safety for the female she will face being the primary concern, the Athletic Commission has the daunting task of sorting through the limited amount of available data to make their decision in what will end up setting the precedent in mixed martial arts. Now, this guy, Dr. Ramona Crutis, who is an MD, has 11 years of experience and took the time to answer some questions for the readers of BloodyElbow.com, which, of course, sounds like an MMA thing. And he says they want to get a better grasp on it. And I think he has some good points. He said, when it comes to gender and sex, gender is more about identity. It's how you identify yourself. Sex is multi-layered. Hormonally is what you are. Gender is how you identify yourself. So even though she, from her gender, she's transgender and she considers herself a woman, when you break down the chromosomes and the hormones, she's still a fucking man. And now you have this man in this cage beating the shit out of women. It's kind of unfair.
Right.
And the whole thing that breaks down is a lot of it comes down to puberty. When you hit puberty, that defines kind of how your bone structure and everything is. And so there's a lot of people, and like I said, I've changed my opinion a lot on the whole transgender gay movement. I had a very different opinion about all this shit like 3-4 years ago. And through research and reading a lot of shit, like I look at it a completely different way. I do genuinely believe that people are born gay, and I do genuinely believe that people are born in the wrong sex, if you will. So I sympathize with the people who feel like I was born and I should have been another sex. I sympathize with the people. But after you go through puberty, your body, you are who the fuck you are. If you spent fucking 20 years developing as a man and then you start taking some medicine to become a woman, you could identify as a woman and you could still be an attractive woman, as we have shown on this show. We have both been fooled multiple times by Bailey J and some other people that we thought were hot chicks, and they turned out to be hot transgendered women. And but when it comes down to actually competing in sports and shit, like, this is kind of different. We're talking about physical contact, and until science can really get down in there in your chromosomes and change what you are biologically, other than just how you look and how you sound, how they, if they could really break down the fucking DNA and change you to another sex, they shouldn't let this happen. No, this is all bad. This is all bad.
So. I mean, I didn't read the whole article. I was thinking to myself that she was going to try to get in fight against male MMA fighters. Yeah, for this motherfucker to fight against other bitches, like, that's just not a good thing. Well, I mean, I would love to see if she can get her ass whooped, because in that case, and it's going to finally break down the wall of, you know, male versus female. But the fact that she was born as a dude, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, there's always a side to a different fence. You know, another side to the fence. So I kind of want to see what's up. I want to see how bad she can beat bitches up, and then hopefully crossway and segue into the male thing and see how that goes.
She's been in at least like 4 or 5 fights. You can look them up on the.
She's ugly as hell too. She looks like a dude. I mean, no. I mean, not that that means anything, but I'm just saying though. Like, why is she wasting her time? Does she want to fight guys? Does she want to kind of stay in the kiddie?
No, she wants to fight chick. Ah. No, she wants to fight chick. He identifies as a woman, and she wants to fight women, and she identifies as a woman, and she wants to continue to fight women. And I think, like, once again, you have the bones, you have muscle mass.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
I was saying, like, every alcoholic domestic abuse male's dream, you know what I'm saying?
You're
going against bitches.
Yeah,
let them live the dream. We all deserve to live our dreams.
Can't stand these hoes. I'm gonna sets change. Whoop these bitches ass.
Give them what they need.
But yeah, this shit is wild. I'm completely against it. I first heard about the story on the Joe Rogan podcast because him being an MMA guy, it came up on his show, and he, much like me, is completely against it. And he actually had a more educated standpoint of it because he is a mixed martial. He's a black belt in like Taekwondo.
What?
He's been
Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
That nigga's a beast. Joe Rogan.
Yes. This nigga, he doesn't just do the commentary for mixed martial arts. He's been doing commentary for 20 years, and he's also a black belt in fucking Taekwondo, and has been doing this shit since, like, he was a kid. Like, his initial thing was to be a martial artist, but he's, like, in his 40s or whatever, and so back when he was younger, there really wasn't a way to make money off of it, so then that's why he started doing stand-up comedy and acting and different things. But yeah, so he knows this shit, and like his whole point of it is he was like, I've watched thousands of MMA fights, and he was like, I know technique, and he was like, I know the difference between someone just being technically gifted and beating the shit out of someone, and when I see a man who can't fight who's beating the shit out of a woman. And he's like, this Fallon Fox chick looks like a untrained man who's just beating the shit out of women. She has no fucking technique to it. And I watched a couple of videos, and yeah, there's not a lot of technique to it. It's just brute force of her running over these fucking chicks. And so, like I said, they whooped that trick.
Hey.
But,
kill him.
Yeah.
Speaking of killing, or possibly disappearing. You know what's funny is that I didn't know really about the fucking story, because you know what, on the real, I don't know what it was. Kind of, you know how I get to my, we all get into our little emo shits.
Yeah.
I wasn't even listening to the news. I don't know what the fuck it was. I could normally being at work, one time I listen to the radio. Bitches complain so much. Mind you, I work in a talking environment. The last thing another motherfucker wants to do is hear more talking. Me, I thrive on that shit. I hate the radio so goddamn much. I'd rather listen to talk radio than listen to fucking whatever heat pulp is on. And instead of hearing these bitches complain about... Huh? What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I just said the hip hop.
Yeah, man. So, I don't know. So, I quit trying to argue with motherfuckers at work because they complain, why are you listening to talk radio for? All it is talking. You're talking right now. How do you even listen to it? I'm like, because I'd rather listen to that than hear you bitches fucking babble. I really would. But, anyways, so I quit listening. I kind of disconnected myself from the world. Like I said, I got off the Facebook thing. I didn't know about the story, but I kept on seeing fucking memes about, oh, you can find where I am with my phone, but you can't find an airplane.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on? And then, so you want to talk about this Flight 370 hoo-ha-ness?
And I'm not the fucking journalist on this situation neither, but the Malaysian Airlines flight, and actually I should check again, I hadn't checked this morning to see if there was any more news on it, but as of the last article that came out, they still haven't found this fucking Flight 370. Let me load it up.
So they lost an airplane, right? So apparently there's an airplane. It was going somewhere. I don't know where Malaysia is. I'm guessing it's Asian. So everybody saw some Asian-looking lady crying and making a big old scene about it. And then I'm hearing word about then apparently the Christians got involved, and they're saying that God must have went up and took them. And then I remember I was talking to some random crackhead, and then she was telling me, about some Christian lady that she was talking about how, you know, which, mind you, anytime a crackhead starts talking about faith, it's like, all right, you know, God's talking through them. Let that be known. talking about how, you know, people will be disappearing. So, you know, I'm into that crazy.
The rapture. And, yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, hey, that could be possible. Because, I mean, how the fuck do you... And then you start thinking about the Bermuda Triangle. I'm not too sure if they went over this area.
That's one of the stories that came up. Like, the... Long, I'll just read the article, because like I said, same here, I'm not well versed in it, but this is a big story. And basically, the Malaysian authorities have not ruled out a possible explanation for what happened to the Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, but have said the evidence so far suggests it was deliberately turned back across Malaysia to the Strait of Malacca. With its communication systems disabled, and they are unsure what happened next. So apparently the FBI is assisting in the investigation, and the files were deleted from the flight simulator. The course change got programmed into the flight computer, so they were like going in a certain direction, and then somebody either had access to or hacked into the flight computer and changed the direction that it was going. And then one of the guys, the co-pilot, the last thing he said was, "All right, good night." And those were the final words from the cockpit guy to the air traffic control. The pilot's homes has been raided. Like, they're trying to figure out what the fuck happened, because they cannot find this fucking plane anywhere. It has just up and disappeared. And the other thing that's interesting is that they're... It was like 270 something people on it. Like, nobody has a cell phone. Like, so me being the conspiracy theorist that I am, and all the shit that's going on between the US and between North Korea and with Russia and all this, you know, we're all just kind of sitting around waiting for motherfucking World War III. I wouldn't be surprised if this is something, I won't even call it a false flag, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is some type of terrorist thing that has happened, and that this plane has gotten dropped somewhere inside of a fucking black box, so can't nobody communicate with some. I don't know.
Now, where was it going? Was it coming here to the States, or where was it going?
No, I don't think it was coming to the States. It was just a regular flight.
Why the fuck are we paying attention to this? I mean, not to sound rude, but
no, I get you.
Like, what the fuck you got to do with us?
Because
why is Obama talking about it?
It comes to the fact that, for one, America is the world's police, so anytime anything happens, America has to get involved in it. And then, two, the other thing with all the tensions in the world between, there's music playing, with all the shit that happens between the U.S. and with China and Russia and all this, this has turned into an international thing of, like, is this a terrorist attack? And if this is a terrorist attack, you know, what ally got fucking harmed in it, and then who needs to stand up for who needs to do what? I guess the latest update is that a satellite image was released by China on Saturday, which offered the latest sign that wreckage from the airplane that's been lost for more than 2 weeks could be in a remote stretch of the southern Indian Ocean, where planes and ships have been searching for 3 days. Apparently, the image is showing an object 72 feet by 43 feet was taken around noon last Tuesday in the water, and it is 75 miles south of where Australian satellite viewed two objects 2 days earlier. So, either that's the plane or the alien. Maybe we finally found the alien.
What they want to do with motherfuckers from Malaysia, I have no idea. But I mean, at first I was thinking, well, maybe it's a hoax. But then I saw some video, some lady who just kind of was crying and she was bleeding. That's what really made me feel, that kind of gave me a bleeding heart over the situation. Because mind you, these are lives. You know, yeah. We have no idea what's going on. The fact that something can be disappeared. I mean, I feel like there's no way. How can we delete all this evidence? How can we, you know, erase all this shit? You know, and mind you, part of me kind of wonders in this, you know, this goes the whole bait and switch thing, the whole power, not manipulation, but the sleight of hand fucking Jedi trick shit that kind of gets us away from going from paying attention to the Russia, you know, crap that's happening and them taking over, us having to pick sides. And then also a thing with Israel, which is, you know, forever ongoing with their shits. I mean, and kind of, I don't want to go into this sort of thing, but I know there's, to me, one in the biggest conflicts too, that, because I was getting too deep into it, with us kind of siding over, I forgot what Middle Eastern motherfuckers, because they're allies with Russia, Obama kind of backing away from the whole Russia shit because they're dealing with motherfuckers who we're getting money from, in which case we're fucking over motherfuckers from Israel, in which case we're kind of, not to say that, you know, people who are atheists or they're not going to think that the, you know, the Israelis or Israelites are the chosen people, but I mean, those supposed to be our, you know, we're supposed to back them up. You know, they're supposed to be the little David, and the fact that we're kind of going for where the guap is coming from, and we're fucking them over, and there's eventually going to be a holy war, and that's going to be really gnarly, and that's kind of what made me want to just say fuck everything, and I just listen to that Rick Ross, because I don't want to get involved with all them politics.
I want front row seats, that's all I'm saying. But it is a fucked up situation. So shouts out to our Philadelphia correspondent. The Malaysian flight was going to China, and 2/3 of the passengers are Chinese, so that's part of what the big deal is, you know, because at the end of the day it might be a terrorist situation, you know, and unfortunately it,
we owe them too much money. Why we care for them other than that? We owe them too much money.
That's the reason why we care, because we owe them so much money, because if them motherfuckers get pissed and call in on their debt, we all gonna be have to speak Chinese, and you know, in a couple of years. Chinese.
I already been saying, y'all motherfuckers better learn Cantonese or Mandarin. Better do it. I'll let it be fair. I know how important this is, but they talking shit about us. We ain't even know it.
And I just said 1,000 times to like a lot of people when you talking to this whole, not necessarily that the U.S. is going to crumble immediately and all that, but it's just like the fall of Rome. Like, Rome didn't fall overnight, but it eventually fell. It was a mighty, mighty motherfucking empire, and it eventually fell. And at the end of the day, America is not
fine.
Egypt, well, I won't even get into it, but they did.
Oh, no, I was talking about in Greece, man. I remember not too long ago when Greece went bankrupt, those motherfuckers literally on fire running through the streets because they weren't going to be able to survive. Yeah. And it's fucked up, but yeah. I mean, yeah, that shouldn't happen in one day, but it sure shit does crumble fast, though.
Yeah. But no, and America has only been the superpower that it has been since fucking World War II. Like, it was all about Europe. Europe was the mighty, mighty empire. You couldn't do nothing about it. But it was when Hitler went through, did his war, and he fucking caused billions upon billions of dollars worth of damage in Europe, and so Europe's economy collapsed, and then America was able to sneak in. We got the motherfucking Nazi scientists look up Operation Paperclip. We got all the Nazi scientists to come over and help us win that space race, because it was between America and Russia who's going to be the next superpower. We won, and that's the reason why we're the fucking world's police, but we're slowly losing a grip on this shit, and China's up next to bat, because China done figured this shit out. The motherfuckers is paid. They know how to keep their people in line. They keep their kids in school 6 days a week. They know that they gotta keep their education going, because without education you can't get no motherfucking where. Not even necessarily school education, but just being fucking smart, like having a fucking thirst for knowledge. Like, China is going to be the next world power. If it happens within our lifetime, I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, China, America only has so long before we fall the fuck apart, and yeah, it's gonna be shots out to China. So,
and I mean, I guess it's just not wanting to fall into a panic, because you're right. I mean, once it's time to call in that debt, you know, motherfucker, you owe. And what happens when you owe? Motherfuckers start messing fingers. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
And we pretty much live in the districts of China from all across the fucking, all across our United States. So, I mean, we owe a lot. And I mean, I guess so. I mean, once you fucking get caught with your fucking hand in the cookie jar, shit's gonna fall. You know what I'm saying? I know a young motherfucker sneaks in, trying to put his hand in my daughter's cookie jar, some shit's gonna fly. Kinda to maybe go into the store. What happened in Texas? What happened in Texas?
Just like how a Texas father shot daughter's grown. Dun, 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 dun. A teenager in Harris County, Texas was fatally shot by the father of a girl who sneaked the boy into her bedroom. Joe Ron McCormick, guess the race, 17, was shot earlier Thursday morning after the father of a 16-year-old girl found him in her bedroom. Apparently, he was first discovered when the girl's younger brother went to say goodnight and saw her 2 feet sticking out from under her bed. And the brother got his father, who confronted McCormick after the daughter reportedly claimed she did not know him. The man whose name was not, who had not been able to call 911.
So this is a motherfucker inside the bed.
She claimed,
I don't know him.
So
you dumb bitch. Like, really.
So she really fucked the nigga up, because that goes back to the line. If people would just stop lying, this world would be a much better place if motherfuckers just kept it 100 all the damn time. If
Daddy,
she was just like, you know what, father, you called.
I know him. He ain't no stranger.
Daddy,
he got me pregnant.
Daddy, I didn't let him hit. I was just sucking on his dick, Daddy. Don't worry. That's all that was going on.
Don't
I promise.
Don't trip, Daddy. Don't trip. We don't need no condoms. I just sucked him out.
I know I got his balls on my breath, but don't even trip, Daddy.
Good night, Daddy.
We love each other, Daddy. Don't worry. But if she would have kept it 100, maybe he wouldn't have tripped. I don't know.
He would have lived. Apparently, because he died, right? He got shot. Shots were fired. No, I'm better. I kind of jumped the story a little bit, but needless to say.
Apparently, the nigga's dead because the father got into an argument with the team and opened fire when McCormick suddenly moved his hands, and McCormick died at the scene, and deputies recovered a handgun from the home. So, yeah, this motherfucker got
capped. I wonder if he played it off to the cops. Like, I wonder if he played the black card. Like, oh, no, there's a black man in my house. Yeah, we black man.
I don't know where.
But the black man started waving his hand around, started all the jab talking. I didn't know if he was dancing or reaching for something. I just shot him, sir. I didn't know what to do. Officer, like, oh, well, you did the best thing you could. A wild nigga just sprinkled in there, and of course, you did what you could. He shot.
And what fucked up is that the dad is black. So they don't give a fuck about that. This nigga is done. This nigga is done. If this was a white dude, yeah, we're gonna have turned around into. It wouldn't even have said nothing about the boy sucking. It would have been a boy broke into home, got found, shot dead. Father was protecting his snow bunny of a daughter, and it would have been a completely different motherfucking story. But yeah, this kid
is self defense. That's in the self defense.
And this shit scares me too, though, because I know how many times, like, I remember one time in particular, I was over some chick house smashing when I was like 17, and the dad came home early from lunch, and I hid in her bedroom for like 2 hours till the nigga went to go take a shit, and I ran out that door, and I took a different bus route back home. I had to get the fuck on out of there, and so I sympathize, because I could have got popped. That could have been me.
Yo, and I'm trying to remember too, because there's and it's nothing to do with the race thing, but actually, I forget where it's from. Maybe it's not even worth mentioning. I don't know if you maybe heard about it. There was some lady who apparently she was cute as hell too. She was 17. Apparently, she was like 30-something years old. She got pregnant by some 13, 15-year-old boy. Did you hear about that?
I don't think I heard that.
Maybe Trav can do some investigation. I'm gonna look on Instagram where I saw the Twitter originally, or I saw the story, but I know it was a big deal because, like I said, that crackhead was talking to also happened to mention the story to me too, and I'm like, you a wealth of knowledge. But yeah, apparently some chick, she was posting online, pretending to be like 13, 14, met some kid that was 15, and needs to say, they was knocking boots, bitch got pregnant, find out she's 30-some years old, which I don't know how. Actually, I do believe it. Not to put her on blast, I'm sure she doesn't listen to the show, but you know Susie from Fredericks, from FOH?
Yes.
That bitch looked like she's so young, because she still be doing young bitch shit, drinking at the club, taking the same pose in every picture that looks like fucking like she's goddamn Lindsay Lohan, and same in every picture. She looks like she's a little girl. So I can see how this woman could have posed as one, but like, but why though? You figure, I mean, how lonely does a bitch gotta be? Because I'm pretty sure she can go to the club and get any motherfucker that she wanted to. I'm pretty sure somebody would want to date rape her, you know what I'm saying, without no hands down. But why she'd want to go to get a little kid? Does she want to be in control? Does she really just have the pedo mind state that she wants to aim for a little kid? Like, you figure she'd want to go against a big, you know, 10-pound monster, you know, but I don't know. You didn't hear about the story?
I don't think I heard it. No, I don't think I heard about it. Because I've been the same way. I ain't really been on the news too much lately. These are some of the shit that I came across over the past week or so. But yeah, same here. I ain't really been on it. And it's so many stories. A lot of those stories are starting to blend together. So many fucking chicks fucking younger dudes. And I'm just so upset because when I was fucking 15 with a rock hard dick, wasn't none of these older ladies trying to hop on it. So I'm a little pissed.
Where were all the fucked up mentally deranged women when I was young? I mean, sure, I was 300 something pounds, but still, where was y'all at? And I'm trying to wonder.
Y'all had at least. Oh, go ahead.
No, I wasn't gonna say nothing. You had at least what?
No, I was just gonna say there was at least a handful of teachers I would up smashed. I'm just saying. I didn't have luck. I don't know.
But you, and I don't know if it's a mentally deranged thing, or I said that word earlier in my phrase, but I mean, I don't know if it's just that we just a whole new class of lonely though, with just the way shit is. Cause I know like, and this is kind of what I wanted to, our last episode to be about, cause I wanted to do the weekly thing, and I don't know what it is, I found myself being real like, detached from society to where, cause I'm lively, I wanna say, and I know I like being the host of events, but I know after my failed attempts at, well, I don't say failed attempts, but when I was in that management position for, you know, those two wannabe artists, when I would go out with them, I just felt so pulled away from the world, brother, to where I really felt God or whatever sort of deity that sprinkles all this, this fucking superstition on top of my mind and my heart, where I'm like, nigga, what the fuck are you doing here? Do you really want to be amongst these motherfuckers? Do you really want to represent this kind of shit? Like, what are you doing here? What the fuck? Get the hell out of here. I'm gonna make you feel uncomfortable. Oh! And there's some little voodoo spell of me feeling real uncomfortable and just like, just shut in. It just hits me like, man, I really hate the world. Like, what the fuck? And so I don't know if it's what were you gonna say?
No, go ahead, because I was gonna say why I hate the world too. But no, go ahead and finish.
Well, I mean, the world's terrible, but it's just one of the sort of things where I'm like, fuck, like I don't want to be around you. I don't want to associate. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And it's a terrible thing because. Then after all that, you know, being out amongst and even though you're around all these sort of shits, and I started realizing, you know, how easy shit is when you have money and the right company, because you're like, oh, wow, this shit came to me really easily, but it's kind of just like, you feel so disgusted by it, but then I'm home alone, and then I just feel hatred even more because I had to cocoon myself, and I'm like, is this why I need my own cult of a band of merry followers that will understand me because, you know, I don't know. It's
all
weird.
All
it takes is a call. I'm going to just do that. Fuck it. Let's take a call and I'll live happily ever after. Hello, fucking Jim Jones.
That's all we ever need is a motherfucking cult. That's all we ever fucking need. But I was going to say the fucking hating people, I hate to admit it, but I'm starting to become racist the more and more I work at the
welcome to the club.
Yeah, I'm starting to join the cult of Soul Popo. I guess I might be the first member because
I got a few of my sleeves, man.
As much as as much as I think that their women are so motherfucking beautiful, I cannot stand Indians. And I'm not being politically incorrect
like
to talk about
Indians?
Native Americans. I'm talking Indians from India. The motherfuckers from
Red
overseas,
Dot Indians.
The Red Dot Manny Patel Indians. I'm starting to hate these motherfuckers.
Why?
Because
you work with them? Do you have Indians? Well, you work in the IT field. There has to be a bunch of Indians.
Yeah, well, so there's no Indians per se at the job, but you know, I'm doing IT stuff, but it's more call center over the phone IT stuff. So I talk to people over the phone and help them with their network, different things like that. And every one of these motherfucking Indians I get, it's always a bad call. And it's always they know every fucking thing and I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. My question is, why the fuck are you calling me for help? Why are you contacting tech support if you already fucking know? I hate these motherfuckers. I had one guy in particular, I'm not even going to go into the whole thing, but I was on the phone with him for an hour and I had to raise my voice to him at one point because he kept trying to talk over me because part of it was a language barrier thing. I asked for his name, you know, as I'm getting his account stuff together, I asked, you know, for his name and he told me his name. I couldn't understand how he pronounced it. I said it back and he said that I had pronounced it wrong and he said it back and I repeated the same exact thing and he was like, no. I was like, can you spell it? He spelled it out and I was like, okay, and I repeated back the spelling. He's like, no, you're not listening. He spelled the same shit again. I was like, that's what I just said. And then I'm on the phone with this motherfucker for an hour and we go through this whole convoluted thing of how he's trying to make his voiceover IP system work, which is technologically impossible for it to work the way that it works, but I'm trying to be nice to this guy and make this shit work, and I figured a workaround to do what he was trying to do. And what was that?
No, my bad.
We go through all this and we get to the end of the call and he's like, well, never mind, just undo all of that. You just took away an hour of my motherfucking life. Wow. And every one of these Manny Patels I get on the phone with, they know every motherfucking thing. And you can't tell them any goddamn
these
thing.
These Manny Patels.
And I'm just... Every time I talk to one of these Manny Patels, man, I'm starting to, and now it's getting to the point where when I first get on the phone with one of them, the second they start talking, I'm like, this is going to be a bad call. I'm going to get into it with this motherfucker because he know every goddamn thing. But once again, if you know every fucking thing, don't fucking call me for help.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And speaking of people who can't call anyone for help, apparently there was an explosion in Harlem and the death toll has risen as rescue workers search rumble for victims. Now, apparently using sound devices to probe for voices and telescopic cameras to peer into small spaces, workers search in a pile of rubble from a gas explosion in New York City continue to treat it as a rescue operation, holding on to the possibility of finding survivors from a blast that brought down two apartment buildings and killed at least eight people. You have to think of survivors and working the way with hope. It says the search work was going slow with 40 to 50% of the debris moved by whatever. When was this? A week ago. And so, yeah, they've been removing debris and all that on the site. And, yeah, about eight people are dead so far. And motherfuckers is dead. It says at least five people were unaccounted for after the deafening blast Wednesday morning destroyed two five-story East Harlem apartment buildings at Park Avenue on 116th Street that were served by 1887 cast iron gas main. More than 60 people were injured, and investigators tried to pinpoint the leak and determine whether it had anything to do with the city's aging gas and water mains, some from the 1800s. And this is actually interesting because this goes back to, I read a book last year that was real interesting called, The World Without Us. And,
Black Book?
And actually, well, no.
I'm like, is that why we didn't care if it was in Harlem? I mean, that's just me.
Fuck it. The World Without Us was actually a real interesting book because just to I'd throw it out there, one thing I've been really investigating for the past couple years, just reading a lot of shit on, is exactly how long man has been advanced in doing shit on Earth. The age-old story goes that 6,000 years ago, the Egyptians and the Sumerians popped up and that civilization has been going on and on since then. Now, there's been a lot of evidence that the world... if you will, and advancements on Earth have been going on for a lot fucking longer than that. Some cases being even maybe as possible as that man has been intelligent and doing shit and building cities and shit for 100,000 years now. Now, one of the things that always comes up is, you know, because you have the pyramids as a smoking gun, where the pyramids, Graham Hancock, John Anthony West, Robert Schock, Robert Bouval, a bunch of archaeologists have been studying the water erosion damage on the pyramids. And
Trav
have said,
Lord.
Shouts out to Trav Lord. He's been, you know, on it. That's actually how me and Trav became friends, is we found out we were into some similar shit and started, you know, just, you know, chopping up about shit like this that, you know, you don't see brought up in mainstream news. And so with all this research going on, they've come to the conclusion that they think that the pyramids may be like 45,000 years old. Now, the Egyptologists who are against it, they're like, well, if the pyramids are 45,000 years old, why isn't there anything else anywhere else on the planet that is this old? Now, the thing is that a lot of people don't know of is that Earth just got out of an ice age 12,000 years ago. So if you go back more than 12,000 years ago, the Earth was frozen. The great majority of the Earth, minus what was around the equator, was frozen. And ice age, similar to, like, you could look at Antarctica. Antarctica is essentially an ice age now. There's miles upon miles of ice on top of it. With the Earth moving the way it's moving and all that, it's, you know, it grinds anything to a fine salt that's underneath it. So when people ask, okay, well, if there was cities, you know, 10 to 15 to 20,000 years ago, where are they? Well, if there was an ice age, all that shit could have got wiped out during then. The other thing you got to think of is during the ice age, there was a lot less water. The water levels were a hell of a lot further down. And if a lot of these civilizations weren't quite as advanced as us, they would be living more to the coastline. And when the ice age ended and all the water got up, all those cities got washed out into the water. And so the reason why I bring all this up is that it goes to a lot of people aren't aware of a lot of these names and a lot of these buildings on all this shit that are hundreds of years old. Let's say something happened and 2/3 of the world just disappeared tomorrow, and the only people that are left are in the jungles of South America and in the jungles of Africa and up in the fucking small villages up in Europe, and it takes 10,000 years for everyone to rebuild and get back to some type of civilization, if you will. What will still be standing? None of this shit is still gonna be standing. All these pipes, as you see, are falling apart. These fucking buildings are not gonna be here. We have no idea how long man has been doing shit on Earth, because anything man makes will crumble.
Yeah. So, I'm curious to know how many times shit's done fall, then, you know, we've risen things up, you know? Kind of like to go back to the whole Egyptian pyramid fucking shenanigans.
Yeah. And that goes to, and that's the reason why, like, I'm big on Egypt, not even necessarily because they were black people. They were in Africa. A lot of people like to think that, you know, Egyptians, there was no way they were black. There's no way there were black people in Africa. But besides all that, the reason why the Egyptians and the Sumerians are so interesting, because that was the start of recorded history, but they popped up with their own developed languages, writings, mathematics. Like, they just popped up out of nowhere with all this information. That information came from somewhere. There was something before them. So as we look at the Egyptians and the Sumerians as the start of the story, they're the start of the rebuilding of the story. And so I just find it interesting, like I said, when I see shit like this, like, shit falls apart. And so it's easy for a civilization to crumble into, you know, let's take America, for example. Let's say World War III happens, and let's say it's a biological war. Let's say we don't use nukes. Biologically, we kill everybody, and like I said, just motherfuckers in the jungles are the only ones that survive, and it takes 10,000 years for them to grow and get back to a certain standpoint where they can come back. And let's say it takes them 20,000 years to get back to America. What is going to be left standing? There's only two things that are going to be left standing in America, and that's the Hoover Dam will still be around 20,000 years from now, and Mount Rushmore. And when they look at Mount Rushmore in particular, they're going to look at that and be like, oh, look, these were those people gods. No, they weren't their gods. That was their president. But you can't understand this ancient civilization, so you turn into mythology, you turn into religions, you turn into this, and you turn into that, not knowing that, no, that might have been an advanced civilization that was doing something completely different, but you're trying to figure out how to equate it to what you know, because they weren't that advanced back then. So it's just a lot of people don't know fucking history. There's a lot more to history than a lot of people realize. And actually, one other conspiracy I'm going to pass to Dick Popo, because he brought up Israel earlier a minute ago. I'm going to just hit you with this. Break down the word Israel to the two letters each, the Is, Ra, and El. And you have Isis, you have Ra, have El. There's no telling where Israel actually came from. I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there. I'm just saying.
And well, you know what? What El is supposed to be is the Hebrew equivalent to the word of God, the word God. And I know that most of the words they do increment and actually tell the whole story. Like the holy name of God, of the Lord, and Hebrew is Yahweh. And even that, apparently, mind you, I don't speak Hebrew, but that word in itself breaks down the five original books that's in the Bible. But the El part, though, it is supposed to signify the God, which would probably make it them being chosen. I don't know. Ra, it actually means destruction, dude. It means, like, fucking, like, all this carnage and shit like that, which I laughed at. Those are my initials.
God, Destroyer of the vagina.
But destroying and whatnot and things of that nature, I think that kind of go into what apparently is who was that dude who played basketball? Magic Johnson, was it? Who survived the AIDS?
Yeah, and that does segue perfectly into the last two stories of today. This first story came from earlier this month, and I think is very motherfucking interesting. The story is, according to CNN, that the second baby has possibly been cured of HIV. Vital Signs is the monthly program bringing viewers. Oh, no, that's something else. It says the first time it happened almost by accident. just hours after delivery, a baby born with HIV in Mississippi was given high doses of 3 antiviral drugs. More than 3 years later, doctors say the little girl has no evidence of the life-threatening disease in her blood, despite being off of medication for nearly 2 years. Now doctors say another child born with the virus appears to be free of HIV after receiving similar treatment. The case report was presented at the annual conference of the Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections in Boston this week. The girl was delivered at Miller's Children's Hospital in Long Beach, California last summer to a mother with HIV who had not received antiviral drugs during pregnancy. Doctors gave the baby high doses of 3 drugs, AZT, 3TC, and Neurprin, 4 hours after birth. 11 days later, the viruses were undetectable in her body and remained undetectable 8 months later.
But it doesn't kill the virus, though. It just, they no longer show signs of it. I don't get it, because I was reading along, and it said that it doesn't kill the virus, though. So how does that work? How do they no longer have traces of it, but it killed it?
See, and that's the thing that's interesting with a lot of viruses is that, for instance, the virus or the
kind of like herpes, like you may not be showing, but it's still there.
It's still there, but it's kind of like all these diseases, and there's even stories, a lot of people, I can't remember dude's name off the top of my head, I forgot the dude's name, but he was on, once again, on the Joe Rogan show, and he's been researching HIV and AIDS for a long time, and he believes that AIDS and HIV doesn't have anything to do with one another, and that HIV is actually a very weak cold that's similar to like the common cold that everyone gets, but it's a very deficient virus, if you will, and that AIDS is actually caused by the breaking down of your immune system, and that once your immune system is fucked up, then that's when you start to get hit with AIDS. And his whole point that he pointed back to was, in America, the big AIDS scare came in the 80s. It came in the gay scene. The gay scene during then, it wasn't necessarily they were just fucking nonstop and they couldn't keep their dicks in their pants. A lot of it in that scene that a lot of those people were getting AIDS was, there was a lot of drug use going on. There was a lot of cocaine abuse. There was a lot of crack cocaine abuse. There was a lot of meth abuse. After you're using all these drugs for so long, it starts to beat up your fucking immune system, and then that's when AIDS is popping up in these people. He also pointed out in Africa, where it's real big in certain areas where it's like 25% of the population have AIDS, it's more in areas where there's a lot of malnutrition people. So it's not in the cities, because everybody, they see the little African kids with the bellies and all that, and they think that's how the entire continent of Africa is. There's a lot of cities very similar to America, but they don't show that on TV. But the malnutrition Africans who are suffering from HIV, it's the same thing. Their bodies are falling apart because they're not getting the right nutritions and all that, and so their immune system starts to fall apart. And so that's the whole thing with this HIV thing, is that, you know, with different diseases and all that, you can essentially turn it off where you still have it, but you're not really affected by it because now it's a deficient virus. It's just like shingles. Anybody who has ever had chicken pox, you actually have shingles too, and it's just a matter of the shingles ever turns on at some point in your life. But yeah, if you've had chicken pox before, you have shingles, and so you may get affected by that, or it may just not turn on. So it's kind of like that. Viruses are in your body, but it's a matter of they're turning on or turning off. So.
I mean, and then one thing I wonder too is the fact that I wonder if it's going to go to where it's treated for a little bit. It kind of, once again, they know for sure that it's not killing the virus, so it's kind of still living there for a bit. I wonder once they grow up and they start being, you know, scandalous like they mama, and they start fucking around, I wonder if it's going to then showcase that, hey, this is just theory, but I mean, is this going to kind of cause like a tumble of, you know, we're all gonna be kind of infected with this shit? Can it spread? You know, can this go, you know, unknowingly? Because honestly, how often people get checkups and things like that? But that is a grand feat, though, and I'm glad that we're doing something. I mean, Lord knows that we could have killed this damn shit a long time ago, but I mean, we need a way to kill motherfuckers all. You know, thank you, tobacco.
And that's That's the thing, going back to fucking, what was the last disease that got cured? It was polio. And the motherfucker who cured polio died poor because he didn't patent the shit. He could have become a billionaire, but he didn't want to because he wasn't trying to make money. He was trying to fucking save people. And we're not in the business of saving people. We're in the business of getting motherfucking, and shots out to Trav, Dr. Duesberg, that was his name. If anybody look up Dr. Duesberg, he has a very interesting take on HIV, and he has some clinical ideas of it. And once again, he was on Peter Duesberg. He was on the Joe Rogan show, and he's one of those guys, you know, you have these conspiracy theorists and all that, and oh, he's a conspiracy theorist, that's full of crap. But he was like the whole thing with AIDS is that they're giving you these drugs that are supposed to be prolonging your life, but it's actually keeping the AIDS stronger because they're trying to make money off of it and all that. And he was like, I have medical proof. And he was like, if anybody wants to debate me, I'll debate any motherfucking doctor who doesn't agree with me, and no one will debate with this man. And I gotta say, when you have a situation where you have one guy who's saying something that's completely against the mainstream, and he's willing to debate anyone who disagrees with him, but no one wants to debate him, maybe it's because he's on to something. And maybe that these other motherfuckers don't want to debate with him because they know that he's right. And they're trying to get this guap. They're trying to keep getting this money. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
And that actually segues into the last thing. Shouts out to the big homie Hater Rotzi, who is back, who this kind of adds to the second child being cured of AIDS. If you do a Google search of patent, let me see if I can bring up the number. If you do a Google search of U.S. patent 5676977, it is a U.S. patent with a method of curing AIDS with some type of molecular crystal devices. And it breaks down, it shows the inventors and all that, and it shows that this cure for AIDS was set to be patented in May 31st of 1996. So, I'm not necessarily saying that this is legit and that this is the cure for AIDS, but there has been a patent on the cure for AIDS for damn near 20 motherfucking years now, and anyone with any good sense will tell you that Magic Johnson does not have motherfucking AIDS and has not had AIDS for a very long time. I'm just saying, maybe this Marvin S. Adelman, who invented this shit, maybe he was a Lakers fan, and maybe he helped the motherfucker Magic out real quick because he saw his hero was dying. I'm just putting that out there. I don't know.
Yo, love is strong. Let me tell you, love is strong.
I know, I was trying to look up. I'm trying to see, when did Magic Johnson get HIV? Because if this motherfucking thing pans out the same. Let me see. That was early 90s. I know you ain't really a basketball person. My internet's moving.
No, I just know that motherfucker had some restaurants and, you know, people was... I mean, he had... I don't know. I don't know the whole deal, but all I know is that he had the cure for AIDS. That's all I know. And I know this one because I think I heard it on a Kanye West song.
But Matt Johnson got a cure for AIDS. Like,
yeah, but I mean, money do get you, though. I mean, you can't say that. And that's kind of another reason why I kind of hate the world, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker's so broke.
Yeah. And that's the reason why it goes back to the that statement that money is the root of all evil. And I genuinely motherfucking believe that, whether you're, and you know, I've spoken my spiritual belief many a times on the show, but that's the reason why, oh wait, I've got another year of patent. Oh, yeah, 1992 when patent right here was a couple years later. He just sent me another patent number. I want to look this up. U.S. patent, 6630507. I'm gonna look this shit up if my internet stops fucking up. So let me see what this patent is. But yeah, Magic, I gotta say, man, I don't think fucking there's a marijuana patent, which is the 6630507. If my shit would fucking load up. You got any luck with internet over there? My shit is fucking up. Should be fucking up, yo. My shit should be fucking up. I'm reloading.
I actually didn't want to stop the show, and I'm actually pissing right now. but let's keep going. Let's keep this thing going.
Go ahead and put them on camera. Popo is currently taking a piss. This is podcast goal right now. Motherfucking podcast goal. That's how you keep it 300. Fuck keep it at 100. We keep it 300 on the IBHM podcast. But okay, I think my internet's moving again now. This fucking patent comes up. But yeah, I am one of those conspiracy theorist people who do genuinely believe that
can you hear me?
Fucking no, yo, Mike was
motherfucker, yo, I tried muting then unmuting because I didn't want you to hear the dick drizzles. But I was like, if I wasn't just a quarter chub right now, I really would showcase it. You know what I'm talking about?
Papa about to show the gold. He's trying to
when the ladies are the followers, but they won't.
Fucking Papa, the way he moves, I'm gonna throw him on camera. Fuck it, my motherfucking internet don't want to work. Let me see. I'm gonna see if I can reboot this shit because my shit is fucked up right now. But I am one of those conspiracy theorists, if you will, that do genuinely believe that I don't know. I do genuinely believe that fucking AIDS was fucking hand designed, and the main reason why I think fucking Pissy Popo, I'm trapping.
What he said? Pissy Popo.
He called you Pissy Popo. Fucking, I am one of those people who do believe that there is some fuckery to the whole AIDS thing, because a lot of it is fucking population control, and actually that brings up another fucking. I wasn't even planning on bringing this up, but I do want to bring this up right now, and my fucking internet needs to work, because I don't think we brought this up on the show before. So I'm going to ask Popo, have you ever heard of the Georgia Guidestones?
No. I wrote down freaking... I wish I did know. So I said, I wish I did know.
Wait. Fucking, I'm gonna just bring up the Wikipedia of it real quick. Georgia Guidestones, I came across this about a year ago, and I don't know, it's kind of chilling. Like, you could take it how you want to take it, you could take it seriously, you could take it as a joke, you could take it as a, oh, you guys are looking too deep into it. But the Georgia Guidestone is a granite monument in Elbert County, Georgia, USA, and a message is clearly conveying a set of 10 guidelines that is inscribed on the structure in 8 modern languages, and a shorter message is inscribed at the top of the structure in 4 ancient languages, including Babylonian, Classic Greek, Sanskrit, and Egyptian hieroglyphs. The structure is sometimes referred to as an American Stonehenge. The monument is 19 feet tall and made from 6 granite slabs. Now, on this thing, it inscribes a message. It says the message contains 10 guidelines or principles, and there's one language on each face of the 4 large upright stones. Moving clockwise around the structure, going from due north, the languages on this thing is English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindu, Hebrew, Arabic, Chinese, and Russian. These 10 guidelines say to maintain humanity under a half a billion people in perpetual balance with nature, to guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity, unite humanity with a living new language, rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts, let all nations rule eternally, resolving external disputes in a world court, avoid petty laws and useless officials, balance personal rights with social duties, prize truth, beauty, love, seek in harmony with the infinite, be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature. It states it twice. Now, the thing that's interesting with this sounds like the guidelines to the New World Order. And for anyone who says that, because it sounds, a lot of that shit sounds fucking fantastic, like, yeah, peace, harmony, love, you know, unity, all that, yeah, I'm all for that. But if you go back to the first one, it is asking for only half a billion. They're asking for there to only be a half a billion people on Earth. There's like 6 billion people on Earth right now. So that would be calling for the death of 6 billion 8.5 billion people on Earth. That's 95%. Man, I know I did that math wrong, but fucking, that's a great percentage of people on Earth that this thing is saying should be dead to, in order to put balance. And yeah, and like Trav said, people only get upset over that, population one. But the thing is, that was real interesting to me is that there's, no one knows who built this thing. And in, it was, came up in June 1979. And the unknown person or persons used the synonym R.C. Christian. So that's the name that is being said as the person, the founder of it. And if you do a little research in Illuminati history and go back to the Rosicrucians, R.C. was one of the original, or he was the founder of the Rosicrucians, who were later believed to be infiltrated by the Illuminati and being part of all that. And once again, the Illuminati is tied with the New World Order, and this is not some cartoon. This is a real-life monument that you could drive to Florida and see this thing standing up. And, yeah, so I don't know. That might be the Ten Commandments for the New World. I'm just putting that out there.
I believe
it. Yeah, he says, I take it as a guy when shit goes to hell and we're rebuilding, not let's kill 9 tenths of the population. I do agree with that, and I think that that's part of the great reason why there's so many different languages on there, because languages only live for so long. That's the reason why, like, the Egyptians, it's so fascinating. A lot of people are fascinated by the Egyptians because they wrote a lot of shit through math. Because it's one thing, languages, English, Spanish, all this shit is going to disappear one day. The one thing that will always stay true is 1 + 1 will always be 2. Mathematics will always be the same. And so you can speak in multiple languages, but if you speak through mathematics, soon as someone figures out mathematics, they'll be able to figure out what you're trying to tell them. So just putting that out there. And then this other patent real quick, from Trav, was from October 7th of 2003, and it's to use cannabinoids as antioxidants and neuroprotectants. And this was someone, let's see, Aiden Hampson and a couple other people who patent marijuana, basically medical marijuana. And this goes back, fucking, this was found in 2001. So once again, I mean, the government ain't shit. They've been all this shit, all this fucking cure for AIDS. They had the shit back when they cured Magic Johnson. This fucking marijuana being curing different diseases and helping with different things, that fucking Paxil and all this Xanax that they got us on. You could get the same shit from a natural plant that's been on Earth for millions of fucking years. People have been aware of this. They've been making as much money as they fucking can before they lose a grip on it. And yeah, the world ain't shit. It ain't shit. Camera's on you, Papa. Mm. Papa, a little depressed now.
My face of disgust. Mm. It's funny because I don't know. I'm in a real dark place right now. I'm actually in the shitter right now. But I was told earlier because of my driving or whatever. I had to drive my granddad, you know, we're through shopping, and she was telling me, she's like, yeah. No, slow down. She's like, I want to live, and I kind of felt really jaded when I told her, like, why? I can give a fuck if I'm alive. And I just felt really dark. I'm like, oh shit, I shouldn't tell my grandma this. She's probably gonna get really freaked out. I don't wanna make her all depressed. She already gets mad enough that I ain't married and have a fucking baby. She's like, why? No, but really, the world ain't shit, yo. It really ain't. But and you're right. And actually, I was gonna make a real funny reference, and just to show how stupid and how girly I am, I was gonna make a reference to the movie Mean Girls. There's a line where this bitch talks about, I guess she's in some advanced math class, and the bitch asks her, ew, why? She's like, just like, math is the same in every language. I guess she came from Africa or some shit like that. I don't know. Yeah. It was funny to me, and but yeah. It's just mind blowing.
That actually, yeah. No, no. Keep going.
I was gonna say nothing. I'm trying to unbuckle my pants so I can take a shit on my logo.
No, I was gonna say no, and that whole that math is the same in every language. It goes back to, like I said, if everybody disappeared and it took 20,000 years for somebody to get back to North America, and the only two things standing left being the fucking the Hoover Dam and the Mount Rushmore. The thing that's interesting, within Hoover Dam, there's a star map. So, and I believe the same thing with Hoover Dam and I think Mount Rushmore, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong, but both of them have star maps in them where they didn't write on there the date of that this was made on this date because the years, who knows the year? Like, who knows if this is 2013? Like, this could be year whatever. But the important thing is that inside of each one of them, they put star maps. And what they did was they put a picture inside of it of what the stars looked like on the day it was created. Because the dates will always change, but how the stars align, if once you figure out how that shit works, you can look into the stars, you can look at that map, and you can pinpoint how long ago that was created. So I think the Americans are also onto something that dates change, languages change, math and the stars are forever. Astrotheology, people, look it up. So on that note, I think that Popo is dropping a turd because he just hit mute on the mic. So I would go ahead.
Why would you
ahead
assume
and,
such things, brother? Why would you assume such things in the ear, right?
And that's why this is the realest motherfucking podcast you guys have heard.
Real.
Real, we keep it really, really real.
Just for no damn reason.
Just to keep it turn down for what? That's all I gotta say. But before we get out of here,
I forgot who I was arguing with, who I was talking to. Was it with you? Oh no, we haven't talked in a minute because I don't know what the fuck was going on, what the situation was, and I was like, turn down for what? For what? Turn down for what? Like it was that was the reason for anything. For what? TD. Yeah. But anyways, yeah. So is it that time already?
I think it is about that time for
dedications.
So, do you want to take it first, or you want me to take it first? Because I keep a dedication. I crush weekly, so I keep a dedication on that.
Actually, I did, and I think, am I correct in what I saw on our Evernotes? Was that your dedication that I saw on the link?
Click on the link.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't say yeah.
Why? Well, I just saw the.
You know my dedication.
I just saw the first link. The second link took me to some shit. I was like, what the fuck is this? But anyways. Okay. I'm gonna be the controversial one in my selection this time, and I really didn't necessarily, once again, didn't have a fucking pick. But a friend of mine, who swears to God, maybe because I haven't tried to fuck her yet, that I'm gay, she sent me this. Well, she knows that I ain't because I try to fuck with her another damn time, but she gets really offended the fact that I ain't tried to dick her yet. So she always throws the gay thing at me. Then because I'm real silly and I speak with a lisp and I fucking praise and I idolize goddamn Freddie Mercury. She sends me a picture. And actually,
She sent you a what?
She sent me a picture of something. Some real pretty. And I put it in the notes. Tell me if you... Oh, fuck. I guess it didn't save. Ain't that a motherfucker? Goddamn.
Oh, yeah, I got to see this.
Is it in the links? Do you see it?
Well, I gotta reload it because I got.
Because you know what? I don't think it was working. I don't think it was working. I'm actually have to send you a picture of this. This woman, her name. Fuck, I already forget her name. Oh shit! This is really bad. Did you get the link to it or no?
No, it doesn't show me the link. Yeah.
Okay, well then I done fucked up. Her name is. If you want to type this in, Carmen. Carmen, last name Carrera, Carrera.
Era.
Yeah, and she'll probably be like the second to last, maybe second thing that pops up. And I'm gonna actually send you this picture to your phone because this is what she sent me. And mind you, I love my bitches as pale as, you know, as I don't know what. As you know, I like in the story of Mary Had a Little Lamb, you know, I like my least as white as snow. But she sent me this one, and I couldn't deny it, you know what I'm saying? I can't deny it when there's a bad bitch. And you let me know when you can see this picture. And I'm gonna actually zoom in. That's my experience. I need to see your face once you see this. Did you pull it up?
No, did you hear your text me?
Yeah, I just texted you. Right, that shit might take a while, I guess. Anyways. And I don't want to say exactly, because I don't know what the fuck she does. I'm not sure if she's a model. Now I should probably load up on Google. And gosh darn it, I really wasn't ready. I ain't ready. The world ain't ready for such fucking travesty. But I'm pretty sure she's the fucking model though. I know she has an Instagram, and that's the link that I tried putting on there. Like I said, her name is Carmen Carrera. Apparently, she was born with the first name Christopher. This bitch is a guy.
I was gonna say we don't have another tranny, do we?
We do. We have another tranny for the fucking list, and I want to say this is the tranny of all trannies. This is the Mona Lisa of trannies. Because you have the picture, right? Do you see her waist?
Yeah.
That waist with them hips apparently had a dick swinging in between it at one point.
No. Actually, this is the chick that came up not too long ago.
No way.
This is, if I'm loading it up, this is that chick that is trying to become a Victoria's Secret model,
yes.
Right?
Yes, actually it is.
Oh.
I didn't realize that until I looked up the name when I was sending you links. And I'm telling, oh, because I think I made a gay joke. Oh, actually, no, my friend hits me with this one thing. I said something about someone being gay. She takes it really offensively because she's a strong LGBT supporter or whatever. Knowing damn well, you know, how I am. But still, she loves to give me shit. So she sends me a meme of Freddie Mercury saying, the next time you call Justin Bieber gay, remember, you're offending Freddie Mercury. And I was like, oh, you know, word, moment of silence. I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. I love you. I love Freddie. And then she sends me a picture of this bitch. I'm thinking, oh, you know, because mind you, you know how I like my girls pale and I like them geek. So the fact that this bitch is bad, it doesn't really wow me. You know what I'm saying? Would I yap at her fat the chest? Sure, of course, I got the dick. But then, you know, she hits me with a, yeah, this motherfucker used to have a dick. And science, man. Science scares me. This is why I don't mind being an ignorant, you know, church living under a rock bastard, because the world scares me.
Yo, and I've said this to my girl a bunch of times, but I haven't said it on the show. I genuinely believe, give it, shit, maybe even 25, but give it at least 50 years. I think the world view on sexuality is going to be completely different. I think within 50 years, I think the great majority of people will be pansexual. And by pansexual, that's the people who they're just attracted to people. It's because a lot of people are like, well, that's bisexual. Well, no, because bisexual people, they like men or they like women. And pansexual women, if they're attracted to somebody, they're just attracted to the person. They don't put genders to it. And I genuinely believe that we're getting close to fucking pansexuality in America, because I'm going to put this picture. Anybody who's watching this live, if not, go ahead and go to our page. Put this picture on here. That is Carmen Carrera, and if I can get this shit straight. And that used to be a man. And
that's what bitches aspire to. Women aspire for that. There's no question about it. That's what you would call a bad bitch. That's what you'd call a dime. That's just all around. Right?
Yeah, I'm at a loss of words. So, yeah, I think we're really changing the world's sexuality, because now we have a great handful of transgendered on our dedication. But once again, like we said, going back to the Nyla episode, shouts out to Nyla, because she finally saw the show and she finally got to check it out, and she sent us her kudos and said thank you for the love that we showed her back on episode 2, Friends Don't Let Friends Hump Drunk.
Even though it's fun.
Fucking beauty is beauty. That's a hot chick. And once again, if you are at a club and you get in your swerve on and you pick up that chick and you get back to the cribbo, you got some life decisions to make. That's all I'm saying.
Honestly, yo, like I said, the world's a very scary thing, and I'm gonna tell you, I'm an opportunist, and considering, you know, everyone, after I handle the equations of gas to miles, distance, to I'm drunk, and it's right here and it's right now, what does one do? You know what I mean?
What? Does one do? Yes, indeed.
I shudder not to think that this moved to your dedication. How about that?
So my dedication is to I won't say all time, but it's my current number one celebrity boo-thang. Now, I done brought this chick up to several people, my love and infatuation with this chick.
Before you
and
say
everyone... go ahead.
Don't say her name yet. And
yeah, I'm not going to say the name yet. I'm going to say that for last. I will say everyone's reaction when I tell them that this is my all-time boo-thang. They say, why?
I even get upset. And you know how much I love that sort of complexion. Brother. You know it. You know what I'm saying? It gets my blood boiling and it makes me want to yell to God. You know what I mean? It makes me want to yell at him for not making me of the same creed or allowing me to lay with that same tap. But seriously, why? Like, what the fuck's so goddamn special about this one?
And I don't know what it is about this chick, but since she stepped on the scene, I have been absolutely in love with her. I followed her. And she even wants my former all-time celebrity crush was Angelina Jolie, and then it switched over to Alicia Keys. And my new person who has dethroned Alicia Keys and Angelina Jolie, people.
And she is nowhere near both of them levels.
Is my boo thing, Kristen Bell. I am in love.
Glass shatters, fucking volcanoes erupt, fucking flies off the shelf, fucking the goddamn couch gets up and like, what the fuck?
Every time when I tell people I am in love with this chick, they say they don't get it. And I don't get it myself, because I'm not saying that she could have been a supermodel or anything like that. I do think that she's gorgeous, and it's something about her personality. Like, I genuinely like just this energy, this vibe. It's something about her I'm just drawn in, and this is my ultimate boo thing. And she just released a movie finally to the Veronica Mars series that got her name out there. She was the Veronica Mars character back in whenever the fuck that was.
Kickstarter that took forever for it to fucking kick in. Did it actually release, or they're just actually making it?
I think it actually finally fucking released. Oh, March 14th. Yeah, so it finally came out. I am the second I get some time off, even if I gotta go by myself, I will be heading to the movie theaters to go support my love boo thing.
I love white women. I'll go with you.
And see, we can do that. We could make that a non-homosexual date, and we can do that and go check out this Kristen. I wanted to see your facial reaction. And fucking the other thing.
I even go as far as Eskimo kiss.
And the other thing my boo thing is in is my favorite motherfucking TV show, which I think is hands down the greatest shit on fucking TV right now, House of Lies. If y'all have not seen this show, yeah, she's one of the main characters on House of Lies. She's one of my favorite actors of all time, Don Cheadle. It's a motherfucking monster of a show. Oh, it's fucking phenomenal, and I just... It's phenomenal. And so Kristen Bell is my dedication. So shouts out to both of our lovely dedications this week, Kristen Bell and Carmen Ferreira. Hats off go to both of y'all. It's funny because when you Google Carmen Ferreira, it says flawless trans woman, Carmen Ferreira. Bitch is flawless. God damn.
She really is. And kudos to man. I got to show love to Kristen Bell, because, and I was very jealous of Russell Brand, not only because he got a fuckhead recurring, but also in the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, he did this move where he's dicking her and her fucking feet are dangling off the goddamn bed. I'm like, that's not a beautiful villain.
Oh, see, shout out to Trav. Trav got my back. He was like, she's pretty, and he loved Veronica Mars, and she was a positive part of season two of Heroes. And speaking of Heroes, I'm so fucking upset, because I never got a chance to watch Heroes when it was out. I finally fucking decided to get into it, that was years back or whatnot, and I got so far into the series, and then I found out they fucking canceled the series without fucking concluding it. And so I don't want to spend all that damn time and energy getting all wrapped up into a goddamn story that doesn't fucking finish. So,
hey,
Heroes Yeah, it just
they canceled. Had a finale.
They didn't have a full real finale. Like, they kind of just ended the show. It's kind of similar to, like I said, I'm a big fan of Saw. And Saw didn't really end. Saw was, like, going a certain direction, and then the company started falling apart, so they just kind of, like, okay, we'll stop it here. And so it was kind of like a false finish, but it wasn't exactly where it was going to end up.
That sounds like a
better
boy just being disappointed that it ain't.
I'm mad.
That's what it
sounds
like.
If heroes, if you motherfuckers can go ahead and make a movie to include all this shit, I'm saying this live on this show, will buy every fucking DVD to every fucking season, and I will sit down and watch all this shit, and I will give you money. Make a fucking finale, so I get involved in this, because my boo, Kristen Bell, is in it, and actually another movie that she was in that I thought was fucking phenomenal. I thought I was going to hate it, because she's in it with her ugly-ass fucking husband, Dax Shepard. But the movie that she was in with him, Hit and Run, it was a sleeper. Didn't nobody check it out. It was fantastic. It was awesome. And they really, like, they played well off of each other. And, like, I was so mad at the two of them being together. But when I saw that movie, I was like, you could tell they're in love. You could tell it's genuine. It's not like fucking Jay-Z and Beyonce, where it seems like it's a fucking business deal that they put together. It's not like Kanye and Kim Kardashian, where it looks like it's just a status thing that they're trying to do.
That is his beard.
Yeah, this is that they got a genuine love thing going on, and so hats off to Kristen Bell, my boo thing. But if you ever need somebody else to rebound off of, holla at me. Don't let's get
it. Some chocolate. Yo, really quick, not to take too much love away from our dedications, but recently there was, I'm not sure if it was Vanity Fair, with Kanye and Kim.
Yeah.
You saw that, right? Is it Vanity Fair? I think
Vanity Fair.
It was one of those.
I want to say Vanity Fair. Yeah.
It was one of those magazines where she's like in her wedding dress, he's in his tux. Bro, I swear to God, like within an hour or two, they already had photoshopped.
What she's talking about?
Fucking James Franco and Seth Rogen. I was like, I'm like, that didn't take long at all.
Fucking phenomenal. So, yeah, that shit is fucking fantastic. So, Kanye and Kim need to go ahead and make another video so Seth Rogen and James Franco can flip that shit.
Yo,
funny.
Really quickly, too, I was watching, because I don't watch TV until about the nighttime, and I was watching reruns of 30 Rock, and there was an episode, and this was 2010 when this shit released. It was 2010, and I didn't know how long these gay rumors had been out for. I really heard about it 2 years ago when before the This Is the End movie came out, or when he had that open letter about a year or two ago. And anyways, in this episode, he's talking about needing a beard. He needs to have one of those fake relationships where they sign an agreement, and you know, they have so many appearances out in public, one fight a month and shit like that. And I was like, dude, this motherfucker has been like outwardly gay like for so fucking long. I don't know, but yeah, I think it's hilarious. And I love the fact that he was
Vogue magazine.
Vogue, okay. I knew it was one of those fancy shits. Vanity Fair, Vogue, what have you. There was a V in it. I knew that, and I knew it cost $10 to store. I don't ever look at that.
Vogue, $10. Shouts out to our third man on the show, fucking Trav,
Philly
correspondent, and actually, I think probably. It's not written in stone yet. We got an interview. Well, we have an interview next week. Let's see how that one goes. But I'm thinking the show after that, we definitely need to bring Trav Lord back on here. So
I miss him.
Keeps it crunk. We got to bring you back on, boo. So I guess on that note, did you have anything else?
No, I've been wanting to flush. It stinks really bad in here. But I don't want to mute this again. So yeah, let's end it on that.
On that note, I'm going to let Popo mute the mic so he can flush his shit. And I'm going to let y'all, once again, we want to thank y'all for tuning in to the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast. Once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, topics you want to hear us chop it up about, go ahead and hit us up. You can find us on the web at the following sites: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, WordPress, MySpace, SoundCloud, Podomatic. Just add IBHM Podcast in the appropriate spot.
Everywhere.
You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Plus. Just search "I'm Black, He's Mexican." If your niggas is being too fucking lazy, just go to IBHMpodcast.com and find all of the links there. And, once again, I think Papa just flashed us.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. And once again, on that note, I'm Black, he's Mexican, and if you did not like this show, you motherfuckers must be racist. Fucking racist bastards. Whoa!
Bye-bye.
If one would open up such truth as the truth of God to the people, I do think that he's within his right to stay out of the sight of the people. Until he has won everything to himself, as the Bible referred for us to it, like this, that he's something like a king looking for a kingdom, and that he go and he visit the people, and then he leaves the people and goes away and wait until the time when that he can secure the kingdom. Then he returns to the people that he had made himself manifest. So I think that is a pretty good answer.
Well, I don't do anything without consulting my crystal. Right. Let's go inside here. We'll just come along. I'll show you. That's right here. Sit right down here. That's it. This is the same genuine, magic, authentic crystal used by the priests of Isis and Osiris in the days of the pharaohs of Egypt, in which Cleopatra first saw the approach of Julius Caesar and Mark Antony, and so on and so on. Now, you'd better close your eyes, my child, for a moment in order to be better in tune with the infinite.
It's frustrating when you just can't express yourself, and it's hard to trust enough to undress yourself. Stand exposed and naked in a world full of hatred, where the sick thoughts of mankind control all the sacred. I pause, take a step back, record all the setbacks, fast forward towards the stars in the jetpack. My feet might fail me, my heart might ail me, the synagogues of Satan might accuse and jail me, strip crown nail me, brimstone hail me. They might defeat the flesh, but they could never ever kill me. They might could feel the music, but could never ever feel me. To the lawyers, to the sheriffs, to the judges, to the debt holders and lawmakers, fuck you, sue me, bill me. That name on that birth certificate, that ain't the real me. The lies can't conceal me. The sunrise and the moon tides and the sky's gonna reveal me. My brain pours water out my tear ducts to heal me. My Lord's too beneficent. The message grab a hold to every ear it get whispered in. The waters in the bayous of New Orleans still glistening. The universe is listening. Be careful what you say in it. My grandma told me every bed a nigga make, he lay in it. The church you go to pray in it. Work is on the outside. Staring out the windows is for love songs and house flies.
Ooh, I got something to say. Ooh, I got something to say. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is on the way. Oh, yeah. You don't have time to wait. No. Gotta get it right, get it right. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is gone. You don't have time to wait. Tomorrow is on.